It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here. Paul might be a little late. He's installing the latest Insider update. He'll have the details for you. Also, big update to Xbox One, what to look for there. And, yes, we'll end it, as we always do, with beer and tears. It's Windows Weekly next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 469, recorded Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. E is for Internet. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Atlassian. Unleash your team's potential with collaborative software tools like HipChat and Jira that'll enable you to work and communicate better together. Visit Atlassian.com to learn more. And by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at QuickenLoans.com/windows. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now and $5 off your first purchase, go to harrys.com/windows. And just in time for Father's Day, check out their limited edition Father's Day set. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. All about Microsoft.com's here in the shape and form and fashion of Mary Jo Foley.
Yes.
Thank you for being here, Mary Jo.
Thank you.
At Mary Jo Foley on the Twitter. She watches while she does the show. So let
I do.
Let the tipping begin. Mary Jo Foley is joined, of course, as always, by Mr. Paul Theront.
Hello, Leo.
H-U-R-R-O-T-T.com. Theront. Hello, Paul. Everybody's in their places with bright, shining faces.
Yeah, a little too bright.
I know. Is it sunny there?
It is. It's beautiful out today.
It is pouring rain
here.
Somebody
just shut
thunder,
that off for me.
Thunder, lightning.
Thundering, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it would rain here.
Very, very frightening me.
You guys might get to hear it on the show.
No, I assume it's coming here next. It was supposed to rain today, but it's been beautiful.
We won't be seeing rain again until October.
It's a very sad thing.
It's weird. When I moved here from the East Coast, it took a while to get used to the fact that's it. You're not going to get any more rain for months.
Mm. Yeah.
And then not till Donald Trump's president. And then the deluge.
Because then you can move to China where they control the weather.
The deluge. And so the hills get browner and browner and browner. Everything kind of starts to die off. It's a really, it's an interesting climate. Anyway, enjoy your thunder bumpers, you lucky dogs. I love it. I keep dialing up my Xbox One, hoping for the update, because I'm on the Insider ring, I think. Is it possible, Paul, that I haven't had an update since April?
Yeah, actually, I checked yesterday, and I hadn't had one since, maybe it was April, but I thought it was, yeah, it must have been April.
It's been
a while.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like so April 30th, I mean, late April.
Yeah, but it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And you're on the preview, right?
Yeah.
So I think the way this works is you're supposed to get a message through the system when you can get it, you know, to get yourself in the queue.
Right.
So if you look at the messages.
I will. I'll fire up my, because I have the Xbox app. And I can see my messages there. The other thing is, and this is, sorry, Mary Jo, just ignore us for a moment.
We're going to do Xbox first. I'm resigned.
By the way, it's Mary Jo's request.
Oh. I know. I said that was the news of the week, so we should do it.
Kind of is.
It's the theory, you take the medicine first, and then everything else feels a little better as a result.
Exactly.
Can anybody,
then we can save it.
Can anybody join the party now? Like, get on the how do you get on the Insider ring?
We can't now. There's no invite system now.
Okay.
Although, am I right in having heard or saw somewhere that they're combining the Insider program and the Xbox Preview program?
You are correct. Yep. You are correct. So I don't know that that means that the people that are on each program overlap. I don't know.
I wondered.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Also, well, we can talk about this too, but they're changing the way they do Xbox updates, at least through this anniversary update delivery, meaning they're not doing monthly updates anymore. They're going to have two big drops, and that's going to be it for the rest of the year.
I'm not so unhappy about that, to be honest. Yeah. The updates we get, and, you know, I use it as my it's on my TV set. So
yeah.
When you want to turn on the TV and you have to wait for a gigabyte update, it's kind of a pain in the butt.
McCarthy says you may have to switch to a new preview ring to get it.
Oh,
on Xbox?
I think that's what he's talking about, or unless he's talking about the combined preview program.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you would do that on Xbox.
Yeah, I don't seem to have any control of it. I'm just.
I usually just wake up and there's an update, and actually, unless you know what to look for, you often don't know that one occurred. Right,
well,
because
I don't get the automated updates, and I know that if you set it to always on, mm-hmm. You should get them, and it doesn't. I'll turn on the TV, and it says we have an update. I don't know why it doesn't.
But the other
do
benefit
it.
Is if you leave it on that connected, always connected state, it consumes as much electricity as a hot tub. So
maybe I shouldn't. But it is, and it still doesn't get the update. So I'm back.
Yeah, I turned mine on this morning, and I had gotten it overnight. There was no announcement or anything about it, but I knew what to look for because on the home screen, there's a new. You know, they've changed the navigation a little bit, so you could see it. In fact,
I'm gonna do what I can do because I want it. I want it.
And
what is
I
it?
See over on Neowin, the actual combining of the preview programs isn't till after anniversary update. So not happening for a while.
That's quite some time. Anniversary update on Windows is July, but they won't.
And on Xbox, they're just saying summer, right?
Xbox was behind before.
Well, no, that's
right?
So the summer one is one of two parts of this update, and the other one doesn't come out until the fall.
Yeah.
So it's actually going to be quite some time.
Hey. I'm glad I'm in the Insider program.
Hmm. A little confused by this. Oh, I see. Okay. Hmm.
Huh. What are you looking at, Paul? Share it with the class.
We've kind of eased our way into the first story, but the first preview of the first part of the anniversary update for Xbox One, or what Microsoft is vaguely calling the summer update, is available to some Xbox preview members now. And so there are a number of changes. The big one, of course, is Cortana, which I should never
say
in front of my Xbox.
That's exciting. I don't have any
replacing
messages
voice control functionality. But one of the other big changes, which I'm just looking at, is there's a store app now. It used to be integrated into the dashboard. So it works a lot like the Windows Store on Windows 10 and is, in fact, apparently integrated with it behind the scenes.
So you can get like apps, the kind of apps you'd have on your desktop, on your Xbox.
At some point. I mean, right now it's just, you know, today what it is games, like it's always been, TV shows and movies, right, through that service, and then the Groove Music stuff as well.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with Xbox One, you know that they have these tabs at the top. So I'm not sure if this has changed too much, but it was like Home, Community, One Guide, Store. And when you hit store, the tab set actually expanded out. And so it probably had games, apps, music, you know, TV and movies in whatever order. But now when you go to store, that doesn't happen anymore. It's just there's a store app. And so that stuff's all still in there, but you have to go down into the UI. It doesn't expand across the dashboard anymore. Let me know if I could explain that more clearly.
you had to be there, right?
Let me ask you something on the store, because I even though I don't write about Xbox, I'm trying to stay up to date here. And the way they characterized this was, this is the start of the mergers of the stores, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so that got me a little confused. Like, are the stores merged or are they not merged?
Well, okay. So this has always been kind of one of those gray areas because the truth is these stores have always been the same store, right, under the covers.
Right.
I mean, the back end of all of the stores, the phone store, the Windows store, the Xbox store, the Groove store, you know, whatever, it's the same store. But obviously they're bringing Xbox One and Windows 10 for PCs closer together. And so one of the many changes in integrating Windows 10 into Xbox One that is occurring is that the store is changing from a UI perspective, is changing from part of the dashboard, which is the Xbox UI, to being a standalone app, just like it is on Windows 10. And so if you open the store app on Windows 10, which I'll do just to make sure I get this right, you'll see a home view, and then there's like apps, games, music, and then movies and TV, because that's where you buy everything that Microsoft offers digitally. Yep. So when you go to the Xbox version of the store today, it doesn't do what it used to do. It used to expand the tabs that were available in the UI. But now you just get the store view. It's obviously focused on games. But if you scroll down, because they're also implementing like vertical scrolling, which is kind of a more normal way of doing things, I think, for most people, rather than those panoramas. So the order of things is different because it's a game console first and foremost. So it's games, then it's apps, and then movies, TV, and then music. So it's the same stuff you see in the Windows Store, but applicable to the Xbox. And so today, there are no universal Windows platform apps in here that I'm aware of, and games are the primary focus.
Yep.
Right.
So and we don't know when the apps are supposed to be added to the store.
No. I mean, conceivably, at any time, any game that is a universal Windows platform game could be in both stores together at the same time. Apps, I think, would be the same thing now. It's kind of the way it works on phone, right? You know, if a developer targets phone, it appears in the phone version of the store. If they target Xbox in the future, it should just appear here. Mm. But I don't know that there are any here now. It just looks like the apps they've always had.
I saw a guy
all
sent
your apps
us
are right where you left them.
The guy sent both of us a link to a Reddit today where somebody said they accidentally stumbled onto something that was a UWP app on their Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, I think now that this little bit of glue has occurred, those types of things can happen, right? Yeah. Because this, I think the infrastructure for that is here. Mm. It's just a question of whether it's exposed. You know, we see this stuff a lot with Windows 10 on PCs and phone, where someone will find the URL for an app. You can't find it in the store. You can't search for it. But if you have the exact URL, you can go right to it, and then you can get it. And I bet that stuff exists today for Xbox as well. It's just probably a little harder to find that stuff.
Okay.
Here's what Lance just sent me now about how to get in. He says you get a note that says time to register for the next big Xbox One preview. To opt in, open the Xbox preview dashboard, go to registration.
Okay, I mean, the only thing we really have to know is you'll get a note.
if I'm already an insider,
I would have to do some extra stuff. I guess that makes sense because it's such a big change, right? They'd want to make sure you really wanted it.
Yeah.
Unlike Windows 10, where they just foist it upon you.
Where you get it whether you want it or
whether
not.
Isn't that ironic? Yeah. We don't mess with gamers. Those guys are tough.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's funny because I do use my Xbox 10 for everything, as Microsoft had originally kind of intended, but seems to be downplaying now. I have the Kinect. I talk to it. I run my
TV. No, Leo, it's just for games now. You're not paying attention.
Apparently, I'm not. Although, now that I can get apps on it, maybe I will use it for more. Although, it's got that lean back thing. I mean, you're not going to, what are you going to put on there? Angry Birds, probably, right? Stuff you could, games. Because I can't imagine, I'm not going to put Office on there.
I don't think there's going to be a big change in the type of apps you would run on an Xbox, right? I mean, most of them are going to be, like NPR might have a video app or something that would make sense in a living room or whatever. But I don't think you would sit there and read articles
on
the TV.
App would probably look good. Actually. Right. Actually, come to think of it.
Right, of course. Yeah.
I could see Sways being good on that.
Yeah,
right?
Because they're slideshows, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a category of apps, but they're not going to artificially restrict what's in the App Store and say, because I've seen that happen. Like Android.
I don't know artificially, but I think they will curate it.
They will.
For quality and for applicability of the form factor.
It's got to have some sort of lean back experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's still this stuff all ties back. It's funny. We we think of the stuff in terms of mobile, but really what this reminds me of is what Nintendo did when they came out with the NES, where everything had to go through them, you know, and they got a little bit of a slice of the sale of each cartridge, remember, on that console. This is the same system today. Mm-hmm. We're still doing it.
They did that because of Atari didn't do it, and there was so much junkware that it killed
Atari
the platform.
Atari didn't do it, but the worst games for that platform came from Atari.
Well, that's true. E.T. was an Atari official.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But nevertheless, that was why Nintendo did it.
That's right.
And so I guess you're right. I mean, you have to go through the App Store, and it's just the same thing. Microsoft has to approve you, or just like Apple or Google does. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not the Wild West like Windows or the Mac.
Right. And yeah, I wonder. I mean, I think that's going to feel very old fashioned soon enough.
The like
idea of side loading apps.
Yeah.
From just some, going to a website and saying, give me that app.
It's because the man's going to get us, Leo.
I have mixed feelings about it. When Apple first announced the App Store, I said, oh, this is the end of the world because Apple now will have be a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out that way. But
there'll always be open systems, though. You know, Android lets you sideload things. You can do whatever. You can destroy an Android phone really easily if you want to.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that will always be the case.
That's one of the reasons I use Linux, too. I mean, I like the idea of...
Yeah.
Although even Linux, you know, is kind of moving towards this kind of approved application notion.
And there'll be no blowback there because those guys understand.
Well, no, anybody who wants to can totally do whatever they want. But people realize that for stability, it actually isn't a bad idea to say these are approved. For stability and security, it's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, right, right. Right, but I mean, there'll always be this kind of fringe thing where, you know, you want to sideload an app. It will always be an option, but you're right. It will be increasingly less mainstream than it is now. I mean, it's actually kind of not mainstream now at all, really, when you think about it, right? I mean, the big apps that people still run on Windows desktops or on Macs probably are well-established apps like Office and Photoshop and iTunes and things like that. And then, you know, that's probably – I don't think people are not – we're not looking for shareware anymore, right?
Well,
we're not like,
it.
You know,
I think that's
scouring
what kind of
the web looking for little utilities.
That's what I'm saying, which is we're moving rapidly towards that world where you just kind of, you know, at one point I thought this is a terrible thing, and now it's just kind of the way it is.
It's a maturity thing. You know, this is, we don't have to know how to fix a car to drive a car kind of stuff. But the people who want to, you know, mess with their cars and make them run better can, you know, they can do that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Weirdos.
We're not yet to that point, though, as we are with automotive, where, I mean, in cars, there's shade tree mechanic is, I mean, if you're a shade tree mechanic, you're working on a 76 Camaro. You're not working on a 2016.
Or you just bought a $50,000 computer that works with, you know, three models
of vehicle.
You
can't even get them. You know, Ford won't sell you a diagnostic computer for an F-150 truck. You have to go to the dealer.
Yep.
So, I mean, who was it? John Deere on their big farm machinery. It's illegal to mess with it.
Oh, boy.
They have DRM and stuff.
When we were in France last summer, we saw an American tractor that came here, that came to Europe in the 50s after World War II as, what was that, like the Marshall Plan or something? And this thing was still running, and it was the most delightful, simple, mechanical wonder of all time. It was like three moving parts, you know. This thing will probably run forever. And that kind of stuff, you know, it's weird when you get to the point where something that should be simple to fix that anyone should be able to fix is artificially limited. And then we have these new technological wonders like an F-Ford 150 that has probably more onboard computers than a space shuttle. You know, it's just such a different era.
What was that? I had that. It was a great manual on how to fix your Volkswagen.
Yeah. Oh, I had it. The John Muir thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I did it. I mean, you did the timing and the change the plugs, change the oil.
I never got good at this, but I used to have to take the engine out of my car. I had a 72 Super Beetle, and with two guys, you basically disconnected four bolts that connected the engine to the car, plus some, you know, wires and pipes and stuff, and then two guys could lift the back of the car up, push it forward 3 feet, drop it down, and then the engine is just sitting there on blocks. You could work on it. And then move the entire car back and put it back together. Crazy. I have incredible Volkswagen stories.
Oh,
I kept that thing running
Love
one time.
Thing.
Seriously, with a cassette case because the cable that ran from the gas pedal back to the engine snapped. So I just went back and kept the throttle open with a tape case, and I drove that thing home from, you know, 30 minutes away or whatever that was. So was it John? Did I get the name
John
right?
Yeah, John Muir. How to keep your Volkswagen alive.
I was totally into this stuff.
Procedures for the complete idiot.
1600cc engine was what I had.
So are we better off that we have cars now that rarely need tune-ups? We're different off. Yeah.
You know what it is? Seriously, if you've been alive long enough, I guess, it is, and have driven a lot, it is somewhat of a miracle that modern vehicles never seem to need oil. Never. Whereas a lot of the vehicles I owned as a kid leaked oil continuously.
Right,
and it was like you would put gas in and you would put oil in. You know, like those are the things. Like, we really.
Okay, guys, this isn't car talk.
No, but this is germane, not German.
And German engineering as well.
Germane and German. Because the same thing is happening with software now. Very much so. I mean, it's completely analogous. There are no user service. More and more with a computer, there are no user serviceable parts inside. You know, I mean, we did even with hardware. Right. We would. You know, you change your video card, add RAM. You can't. You know, look at this Surface.
Well, remember one of the big outrages about the iPhone when they did this was they sealed off the battery.
Right.
And people would say, "What the heck? You know, I always buy an extra battery, and I travel all the time. I'm always out in the world, and then the outrage kind of goes away. And
yeah, and I'm not sure which is better. I mean,
it's just different. Yeah.
It's different. You're right. I guess I don't.
I mean, they're better. Obviously, they're better overall, right? Cars are lighter, but they're better in crashes. They crumple properly.
Yeah, you don't have to add oil. That is measurably better. You don't have to get. Remember, you would go to the gas station and you would have the gas jockey check the oil. You put a dipstick in, wipe it with a rag, because you may very well have had to add a can of oil.
Sure.
You don't do that anymore. Well, there's no gas jockey for one thing.
No, there is not.
Except in New Jersey and Oregon, or it's Washington, right? There are a couple of states where it's not legal to pump your own gas. That is weird.
If someone ever walked up to my car to do something to it, I would probably attack them. You know, even though, obviously, that would be better than me getting out and getting gas all over my hands.
Can I clean your... Well, no, because nowadays it's a squeegee man wanting to wash your windows at the stoplight. It's a different world we live in,
it's
kids.
It's the service society we live in.
Yeah. That'll be $20. Oh, Intel Corporation driver update for Microsoft Camera Rear. Intel driver update for Intel AV Stream Camera 2500.
Yeah, so if you're on the Insider Preview, there are some Surface updates this week.
Four Intel driver updates.
And really, what's ever gone wrong installing an Intel driver update? So.
And then there's Preview.
During the show.
This must be what you were installing, Paul. 14361, is that what you were installing? Yeah.
Yes. You have a lot to install, Leo. You got to get moving here.
Four separate drivers for the Surface Book.
So those driver updates are only available if you're in the Insider program.
So the rest of the world's not going to have such a good experience? What's the deal?
Well, they will eventually, right? I think these things probably, I don't know if they rely on features of the anniversary update or why this is happening, but this has happened a couple times now where Surface drivers have only gone out to people on the Insider program. Presumably, they head out to everyone later, but I wonder if there's some kind of interaction with the software that requires that.
I'm sorry. I derailed the conversation. We're talking about the Xbox. We'll get to the...
Right. So John Muir, I wanted to say...
Back to John Muir and those fabulous Redwoods.
Yep.
Not the
there
same
was a whole
John
hippie
Muir.
Philosophy to that I kind of enjoyed, but anyway.
No, I do too. And this wasn't actually the one I was thinking of. The one I was thinking of... Maybe it was, I don't know, I think it was a white cover with a line. Anyway.
How about that Hadoop?
Mary Jo's going to blow a gasket.
No,
over
but
there.
Mary Jo. So you.
No, sorry, guys, all I'm going to say is I don't care about gaming, and I care about cars even less than gaming. So this conversation is excruciating.
Okay, but were you ever did you ever add RAM to your computer or upgrade the video card?
No, I'm a normal person. No.
Used to be normal people did that, but you're right. Now normal people don't do that.
These days, if you say that to people, they're like, what?
I know. Right. Why would you ever want to do that, they would say.
No. Just buy a new computer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and by the way, that's the way, that is normal. I mean, when people buy an iPad, no one ever says, this one has 2 gigs of RAM, and the other one only had one, so there you go. Like, I don't think people are aware of that kind of stuff.
I'm just wondering about our audience, because if you're a normal person, no, seriously.
I often wonder about our audience.
I think our audience probably
wouldn't listen to Windows Weekly. If you're a normal person, this is the last thing you'd want to do.
Although there are a surprising number of people who seem to be normals who do listen to the show, whether it's forced by spouses or some other reason.
Popular in prisons.
Well, I mean, if you want to get better at this stuff, I guess it's good to listen. Yeah. But I think that. Almost.
No, I agree with you. I bet almost everyone who listens to the show has added RAM to their computer.
Yeah.
I believe
because
that.
Because, honestly, wow. Twit
is... It's like a support group. But everyone who has added RAM to their computer.
Hi, my name is Leo, and I've upgraded my RAM.
I put RAM in a computer last night.
Like, seriously. I do it all the time. Like,
as last night I did this.
Well, there you go. And I think that, and maybe this doesn't bode well for Twit. But the whole network is aimed at that kind of person. It's aimed at enthusiasts. Because if you're only casually involved with technology, like you just use it like you use your microwave or your toaster, why would you listen to hours and hours of obsessive conversation about it, right? You wouldn't care.
I don't find our conversations to be obsessive.
No, this is important stuff. I'm sorry, but I have to listen to this.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mary Jo, you're a stranger in a strange land, basically.
Yes, I am. I would be the first to admit that.
Right. You're like a unicorn.
Welcome.
I'm a ninja cat.
One of us. We'll have you upgrading your RAM any day now.
You won't.
One of us.
Well, and in a way that, it's actually something I have to do some soul searching about all the time because...
Sure.
Maybe this is like, remember Hi-Fi Magazine?
Mm-hmm.
maybe this is like the Hi-Fi Magazine, and in a few years, nobody's going to care.
We've talked about this on air, haven't we? The CD magazine that came out in, what was that thing called, from New Hampshire? It was basically a Hi-Fi, type thing. But I used to, they were really into bluegrass music
for
some reason.
Were you into Hi-Fi stereos, Mary Jo, anything like that?
No, but you know what I did this week?
Have you ever held a screwdriver?
I have. In fact, this week.
Could you tell a Phillips screwdriver from?
I can, surprisingly. But this week, I was having a lot of problems with my Acer S7 for the first time.
Oh, no.
Windows was just shutting off periodically. So I looked online and it said, there's some weird bug with that where you have to tighten the screws on the bottom of the machine periodically.
What?
Because... the way they built it was if it's not tight, the machine automatically shuts off as a safety measure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I thought it was making it up. So I went, got my little screwdriver,
that's awesome.
Tightened the screws, and voila.
It's kind of cool that the S7 has regular screws. And
I know.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
it's like those Atari STs where you had to drop them from 6 inches to properly seat the chips.
See, there's no screws at all on the Surface Book. I guess maybe under these rubber.
Yeah.
Rippies, they're
probably guys, I do tinker with my hardware, just not the way you guys
and it's
do.
But wait a minute, it's satisfying, and you fixed it, and you felt good about that, didn't you? And you felt empowered as a user?
No, I felt nervous that it was that flimsy that I could
felt
do
vaguely
that.
Sad and dirty that you had to do this.
But now, now it makes me start to worry that, something may short out or there's something else going on. So now I'm starting to think, what will I get as my next laptop already? I'm starting to think about that.
Ooh, I've been thinking about that too.
Mm.
What was on that when you got it? Was it Windows 8? Was that
8? Yeah, it was 8. Yeah. 8.0.
Quickly removed to 8.1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now 10.
I'm thinking for Mary Jo an X1 Carbon. Lenovo X1.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know what you use is in a couple of years you put Linux on it, it's the best.
All right, Leo, you had me. And then right over the cliff.
Yeah.
So you were going to say something about the XPS 13, I assume.
Yeah.
I dramatically prefer the ThinkPad X1 Carbon to that machine. Dramatic. It's not even close.
Really?
I have the... 2 years of the XPS. I don't have this year's XPS, but
I only have the first one, I guess.
They've gotten much, Paul.
Well, no, it's not they've gotten
you
better.
The 2013.
It's the form factor. It's the webcam that's down in the corner.
That is a little weird.
I just think that the keyboard and pointing experience on the ThinkPad is so amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's just as thin and light. It's wonderful. If for some reason you wanted a tablet transformer thing of Bob, they make a version like that too. But I would just get the normal one. The laptop.
It's very thin, 2.6 pounds, very light.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I love the Lenovo PCs. Always been good.
Is not bad either.
Very
similar to the S7 in terms of thin and light. Great keyboard. No mm-hmm. touch. Mm-hmm. Do you care about touch?
No.
Yeah. The Lenovo X1 Carbon doesn't have touch either, actually.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. They do offer, like, the yoga, though, if you want to do that. Lenovo's supposedly great keyboards. But you might want to follow Lenovo's instructions and remove the Lenovo updater because it's a security hazard.
No, that's not on ThinkPads.
I know. But come on, Paul. What? Do you have confidence now in all the stuff Lenovo's putting on the ThinkPad? This is the third strike.
I know. That is a good point.
But it's never happened on ThinkPad.
Oh, right. It's only the consumer machines.
It's only
machines,
on their
right?
consumer devices. Yeah. So,
yeah, but,
you know.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care what they're eating back in steerage. I want my champagne.
Is it a different engineer?
And I want it now. No, I don't know. I do think that's terrible, but it's never happened on
ThinkPad. You're right. ThinkPad's always been immune.
Yeah. Well, they just don't put that stuff on ThinkPad. It's business focused. It doesn't have that stuff.
Is it pretty crapware free? Is it pretty? It's a signature.
Yeah, and actually, the really fascinating thing on the new X1s, the X1 Carbon, the Yoga, and I think the tablet. I haven't had a chance yet to check on that one. The utilities they put on there themselves, like the Lenovo utilities, are really good, and they actually do the opposite of crapware, which is that instead of just foisting all this stuff on you, and there's all this junk in the UI. The first time you run one of the apps, it will say, hey, we make this battery gauge utility. And they used to just throw it in the tray by default. Would you like to add it to your tray? And you can actually just say no, and it never asks you.
Nice.
You
know,
they don't even put it in front of you to begin with. Like, I actually think the way they're handling it on ThinkPad is...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's really nice.
If you just have a crapware decision tool.
Yeah. It's basically that. Yeah. Well, that's not what it's for, but you're running some ThinkPad utility to do whatever. I'm not sure what the point of it was, like to get drivers or whatever.
Microsofty thing and say, hey, we've got some great free stuff we'd love to give you, but if you don't want it,
too bad.
Click here.
Oh, well.
If you don't want it, just click OK. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Click here.
Click the red X.
Click here. And but I mean, even that would be good because enthusiasts could then say, "Oh yeah, I don't want that."
I strongly recommend the ThinkPads, the X1 especially.
Okay. I wasn't thinking of having to upgrade yet, but maybe we'll see.
Yeah,
what happens?
Yeah. Your computer could be fine too.
Yeah,
it might be fine.
Tighten the screws. What do you want?
I know. Isn't that weird? It kind of makes me nervous. I have to say.
Put some Loctite on, and it'll be fine.
You don't want your machine randomly shutting down with no warning at all.
Under there. What do you call it? Like Bondo?
Yeah.
Bondo over one of the USB ports.
A little drop of your, your bathtub coffee. You put a little drop there on each of the four corners.
You know that PVC tape?
The other thing is it only shuts off on battery, not when it's plugged in.
To me, this all makes sense. It's an interlock they put on there, and they didn't expect the screws to loosen, but they didn't expect you to keep it so long. Now it's tight. It should be fine.
Right. How dare you? How dare you actually do something?
You kept it.
I know.
It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Okay. And who knows? Maybe you want to get another Acer. They have some nice stuff. Maybe. Asus is good. But I have to say, I agree with Paul.
They make a beautiful Chromebook.
They make a nice 15-inch Chromebook. You might as well go all in there.
Now that I've gotten her on Android, my next goal will be.
let's take it easy here.
All right. And
that's when I reveal myself to be Satan.
We've done enough to include Mary Jo. Let's go on with the Xbox stuff.
Exactly. Go back to the Xbox, people.
Major changes coming to the Xbox app to make Windows 10 more appealing to all gamers.
Topic 2 of 29.
What the hell?
So I talked to Microsoft a couple weeks ago about this Xbox stuff, and kind of buried in the back was this thing about changes they're making on the Xbox app on Windows 10, right, which is their kind of integration point on the PC for the Xbox Live ecosystem and also for the Xbox console itself so you can, you know, beam your screen back and forth and all that kind of stuff. So today, the Xbox app is not that interesting to anyone who isn't on Xbox Live, right? In other words, it's a great app for people who are fans and users of Xbox Live and an Xbox One, but if you use Steam or Origin or just play PC games in general, the Xbox app hasn't had too much in it that would cause you to ever use it. Like, what's the point? It's for some rival network, essentially. As it turns out, there is one reason for people to use it, even if they don't use Xbox Live. They can use its built-in chat feature to chat with gamers. So you can actually put the app over in the corner, play the game full screen, and you can be chatting through the Xbox app with your friends if the game you're using doesn't support that. But now with this coming in, the first anniversary update, the summer update, they're adding a bunch of things, but the biggest one in my mind is interoperability with Win32 games. And so the top 1,000 Win32 games will be supported in the Xbox app, meaning if you or one of your friends are playing in one of those games, you'll appear in the activity feed, right? So people will see your presence and they'll know what you're doing. There'll be a game hub for that game. And so you can see who of your friends owns that game. And that might cause you to invite them to play that game, which has nothing to do with Xbox Live. It's just an entry point for it through the app. And then you go off and do what you were going to do anyway. And so, you know, they're not going to have achievements and things like that. But it's a way to bring in the games that people are already playing and not usurping them in any way, not trying to, you know, outdo the service that you may be using over there on that side. But just to have a central point where you can see everyone you know who is gaming, however they're gaming, at any time. And it's one of those things, when they described it, I was like, this makes total sense, and I have never even considered this as a possibility. And it's such a great idea, because it's not embrace and extend, it's just embrace. You know, it's just, let's just acknowledge that people play games elsewhere and let them all congregate through this app. It works great. It's a great idea.
What's the use case? So you got you're playing your game, and then you've got your computer.
Well, think about the central kind of benefit of Xbox Live. Like, before there was an Xbox Live, on the original Xbox or on a PC or whatever, you could go into a game, you could connect to a server, and you could get into a game, and you would see the people you were playing with. And if you wanted to connect with other people who you knew, you all had to kind of you get on the phone, or you do the stuff that was like kind of outside the game. And so in starting with Halo and then just with Xbox Live, Microsoft added the ability to do that stuff in the game and then in any game. And so even in the earliest days of Xbox Live, if Bob was playing Halo and, you know, Bill was playing this other game, they could still bring up a list to see their friends, who was online, what they're doing, invite them to parties, invite them to play, and they could interact in different ways. And then over time, it involved, you know, audio chat and video chat and then all the game, you know, game matching and gameplay making and so forth. And so this kind of extends it out past Xbox Live. So Bill might be playing Call of Duty on Steam, you know, or Bob might be playing, you know, Age of Empires. That's not connected to anything. It's cool. Like an old game. Yeah. So they all still show up in your feed. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Like it doesn't matter where they are.
It's nice. Such
a great idea. It's really nice.
Well, and it also kind of embraces PC gamers a little bit, which is
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
is good. I think we need to bring together the factions. It's like Bernie and Hillary. We gotta bring together.
Yes.
Bring us together.
And who's Trump in this scenario? PlayStation.
PlayStation 4.
It's actually PlayStation 1.
hey, should I? Is there going to be an Xbox One 0.5 or something like that this mm-hmm. year? You think so? They'll announce that at E3 if they're going to do that, right?
Yep.
And you think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think so.
All right. Okay. Just going to wait. Not going to buy another one.
Well, that was one of the somewhere in here. I mean, so I have the Xbox One right now is on sale for $299. It's a good price.
Yeah. Tempting, isn't it?
Do not buy the Xbox One. You got to wait because... Okay. 5 days from now, Microsoft's having an E3 press conference. They're going to announce something. Now, that the new, assuming they announce this new console, as I expect, it doesn't come on sale until September, October. I mean, I don't know anything about it. And then you can make a decision at that point. But
well,
don't,
of course,
don't
it's like buying a Macintosh before an Apple event. You can 5 days, wait and see, right?
Just because you never know,
right?
Well. Chances are pretty good they're going to announce something. So
Sony's doing a refresh. Everybody says mm-hmm. again, nobody's announced.
The worst kept secret in tech.
Yeah, I'm waiting on because I want to get the PlayStation 4 VR.
Yeah.
Microsoft missed the boat on that one. An Xbox One VR, wouldn't that be?
Or it was some gadget blog, just came out with the claim that Microsoft is dominating VR.
I don't think so.
Most awesome thing I've ever read. Yeah, Microsoft has zero VR. But I think that's a big thing.
Their prospects is excellent.
No, I love an Xbox.
The growth potential, astronomical.
Astronomical. The sky's the limit.
Yep.
There's nothing but up from here. Because I think that I feel like the Xbox, the PlayStation 4 VR is going to be a significant product.
I do too.
But they did a partnership with Oculus, didn't they, Microsoft? Yeah, we just never heard more about it, did we?
Boy, you know, it's so close because Rift works on Windows 10. It needs some substantial graphics processing.
Well, you could use an Oculus Rift today with Windows 10. You could use a HTC Vive with Windows 10. But I mean,
I'm using both with Windows 10, but I want to use it. I want something so I can sit
use it
with my gaming.
Well,
you know,
these things are very expensive and they're complicated, right? And so I think there are certain things with VR or the mixed reality HoloLens stuff that, you know, you can't escape. There's a certain complexity to the setup of the device and the wires and all the stuff. But obviously.
Battle Cam in our chat room says that the rumored Xbox 1.5. The rumor is will be designed to work with the next Oculus Rift.
That would make sense too.
Right?
Especially because of those announcements they made last week around, you know, opening up Windows 10 to VR. And now that Xbox One is going to have the anniversary update, that has implications for the Xbox One too.
I mean, the next Xbox would have to be significantly more powerful.
You think
to run Oculus Rift? Yeah, I mean, it's
or maybe it's that Scorpio thing.
PlayStation 4 is that much more powerful than an Xbox, is it?
Well, it's a different platform, and so I think the deal with Oculus Rift and HTC Vive is that they've just targeted really high-end PCs.
Yeah, you need a 980 and all that.
The next gen Oculus Rift could certainly bring those requirements down. There's no reason that couldn't happen, but I think the Xbox is still going to have to take a step up. Like, I wouldn't expect the current gen Xbox One to be able to handle VR.
Scorpio?
What's Scorpio?
That's the rumored high-end Xbox in 2017, right?
Oh. Right. That's what I mean. I think you would need that version.
Yeah,
because just for the GPU, if nothing else. Yeah. Interesting. When am I getting my my DVR on my Xbox One? Because that's the other thing missing is the ability to use that like a TiVo. Now that who is it? Rovi bought TiVo.
Yeah.
And says we don't want to really do the hardware. So there's going to be this gap. I'm devastated.
When you say gap, you mean a gap before a next gen hardware device?
No, I mean if TiVo goes out of business or doesn't sell hardware anymore.
Right.
Who's going to beat the next
TiVo? There'll be a Polaroid branded TiVo now or
of course I have two TiVos with lifetime subscriptions.
Sure.
Little did I know, it was the lifetime of the company.
Well, by the way, I mean, they lasted for a while.
I bought mine this year.
Oh, I see.
They lasted for a while, yes. But apparently I found the exact...
Xbox One?
Hey, can I tell you something? When I got the TiVo Romeo Pro or whatever, the top-of-the-line TiVo for myself.
Is that what it's called, Romeo?
Yeah. Why?
Really?
Yeah, because Rome.
Oh, roaming.
Rome. And then, so that's, what was it, $500? And then the subscription is either like $20 a month or you could buy a lifetime. See, dummy. Lifetime subscription.
Hundreds of bucks.
I think the whole thing was like $750 or $800.
Yeah.
By the time I'm done with the hardware and the subscription, that's a lot of money. Then Lisa says she wants one. I said, well, wait a minute, honey. These are kind of expensive. She said, you got one for yourself, and you didn't get one for me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Leo, marriage is a partnership.
Yeah, so I immediately got one for her. But she kicked me, saying, why didn't you get me this sooner? This is so much better than the stupid crap-castic Xbox X1. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, so we have Fios, which is I really like the service, but
is the DVR
set-top box makes me want to murder people.
No, they're all terrible. Comcast is making a big deal. You'll see the ads for the X1, how smart it is. It is awful.
Oh, they're terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, we had X1 for about a year.
It doesn't work. It lags. Try fast forwarding. Often, it can, you know, you can't stop it. It goes through the whole show. And the, yep. Or you rewind, yep. It goes all the way. It's like, ah!
Oh, no, it's infuriating.
it's infuriating.
It's amazing how bad this stuff still is. And it's amazing that something like TiVo, which was great, or Windows Media Center, which was also great, just never really took off in a huge mainstream way. Like it's sad because those things were great. There still are.
My point being, I would love to use the built-in DVR capabilities of the Xbox One.
Yep.
Well.
So Windows 10 build 14.361 came out today.
Yeah, I'm still. By the way, I just want to show you. I'm doing what you did.
Different. Is that your actual normal color?
Yeah, because so Mary Jo was right. You can have. We used to be orange, but it's
I just did mine today, yeah. And that screen was pink.
Yeah, because it's your whatever your.
No, it's not. My screen is blue. I don't know why it was pink. Mm. But yeah,
I have that it was set to match whatever the desktop is to kind of color coordinate. Sure. Anyway, it's been doing this for about 20 minutes.
It's fine. It's fine.
That's fine. Okay, nothing to worry. Nothing to worry about. Your files are exactly where you left.
That will be fixed before you see DVR TV on Xbox.
Oh. It worked. It said making sure it's you. Mm-hmm. And the blue screen is sad face.
Sad face.
It looks like a frog, doesn't it?
Yeah. Where's the nose? Are you one of those people that types a smiley face without a nose? Because that's just weird.
I am.
I do. I do that.
I don't understand that. It's frog face. Put a nose in it. It's just a dash. You just get colon.
Is that a rose gold piece of hardware I see in the foreground?
Shh. Oh, you know what this is? This is awesome.
No, not that. The pink thing.
The pink thing?
That looks like something you make bullets with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I got to do my loads, I use this to hold the the bullet. No, this is Andy Inaka told me about this. This is a completely useless but wonderful piece of hardware.
Is that a musical instrument, Leo?
No, it doesn't. No. You see, you think it's useful. It's just perfectly drilled holes in a steel brick. Mm. That's it. You could. It's
so.
It's to 0.001 inches or millimeters of accuracy.
Do I need to alert the authorities to Andy's impending stroke or whatever's happening?
You know what's really bad? So I bought – they come in pairs. I bought two because he told me
they come in pairs. Naturally.
I got two of them. And he now has like six. Yep. He keeps buying more.
What do you – I don't understand.
And then do you build, like paperweights or
– It's exactly like 1 inch. Thing. By 2 inches by 3 inches. It's a 1-2-3 block.
It's the monolith from 2001.
And it's perfectly machined so that there's holes all the way through it.
Yep.
Mary Jo.
It's funny because I understand what you're saying, and yet I have to say I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, and?
I'm following the conversation.
It arrives covered in machine oil, and you have to carefully wipe it off.
Yeah,
because you don't want to get it all oily, and then it's just beautiful, beautiful. It's a work of art.
And
he's hypnotized me. All right,
and there's no secret compartment.
No,
it's just what
do,
it is.
No. You see, you're thinking functionally.
I am.
If you put it in your pocket, will it unlock your car?
No, I thought maybe you could use this thing for like a pen stand, right, or something like that.
Yep.
But no, it's.
Is it magnetic?
No.
Nope.
Is there NFC in this device,
no,
Leo?
No, it doesn't do anything. There, you see, you put your pen in it.
No, I thought it could be like the next, like the follow-on to the pen loop, like a Surface Pen holder.
It's. And by the way, this is covered in titanium nickel, which I think is called Somebody told me it's titanium, something like that. Anyway.
Oh, unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
Jeez.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Moving along.
So, John Muir.
No. Oh, but you could use this like to hold down things while you're working on your Volkswagen.
You could use that to hold the engine while you were repairing it and then.
Perfect. Perfect.
Put the car back on top of it.
You could, an elephant could stand on this and it would not. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing is serious. Now, of course, the elephant couldn't fit on it.
Right.
Microsoft sales hit 100 million units.
And Minecraft. That literally is the only data point we have.
Of what? Units of what?
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Minecraft
units.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, they said they were selling 35,000 a day.
I know. Yeah. That's crazy.
It seems like it's accelerated, too.
It has. That's yeah. up.
That's
and good. I'm not surprised. And we've said this before. They've been very good stewards, I think, of the mine. I was very worried.
They just, God, if they could just, you know, they did the one Windows thing. They have to do one Minecraft.
One Minecraft.
It would be huge. The ability to, on a big screen, whether it's a PC or an Xbox or whatever, make your world, do your stuff. And then to take that with you on the go, like on a phone or a tablet or something.
They're apparently moving that way, right?
Yeah, they have it, right? Pocket edition.
You can't do the same world.
Oh, you can't do the game.
They're kind of standalone things.
Yeah.
And so what they need is, you know, you sign in with your account, you've created your world, and you can access it from any client.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That would be amazing.
Speaking of Minecraft, I got a kind of fun little message after I rebooted. It says native log, so it's a log file of some kind. Set run director to see program files, Microsoft Minecraft native launcher version, blah, 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 funny. Windows 10 Pro Insider, net.minecraft.launcher.main, --win10, application still running, assuming all's fine. It says that.
So your computer is rebooted. Does that mean it's on the new build? Or did you actually go back?
Yeah.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
14.342, right?
That was pretty fast.
Well.
14.361.
Oh, I'll have to do it again, I guess. see, it's still there. Oh, and it says it didn't install any of those, even though it acted like it
was. Yeah, it probably tried to do the build first. It's too bad you couldn't, control those updates in some way. It'd be kind of nice to.
So that's weird because it downloaded. Oops, sorry. I don't know why it says Brad Sams. He's the ghost, of Brad Sams.
I think we all wish we were Brad Sams.
It went through the whole install, right, and downloaded them all and installed them, and then you saw that crash. So maybe it's maybe it backed out. I guess, right?
Yep.
Well, that's a good thing.
I guess.
Well, better that than like unused.
Oh no, of course. But I mean, it's too bad you didn't have some information about why it happened.
Well, I'm just going to do it again. You know, I think I know why it happened. I closed the lid.
Oh.
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 Oh, I see.
You did what? Oh, you closed the lid.
Leo did what?
What? He said, what? Don't close the lid. I'm coming, Elizabeth. All right, let me put this in here, and I'm giving it power because I don't want it to run out of juice. And it says it's going to do it now. We'll see. I think it was because I closed the lid. I wasn't thinking. I closed the lid in the middle of the.
That
was good. It shouldn't matter, but yes, okay. Accept the blame. Hopefully, it works this time.
Let's take a break. When we come back, more Minecraft news. No.
Yep.
No.
More on John Muir's advice for Volkswagen owners.
Guys, we're going to do a whole segment on Apache Spark next, just because.
What to do when your timing bell is off? All right, but get your voltmeter. First, a word for all of those of you who wish today you were still could tune up your Beetle. That probably means you're a serious hobbyist, hardcore programmer, developer, a geek. And if you're a geek, you know Atlassian. I hope you know Atlassian. Atlassian is the software, the tool, the set of tools for the maker, the builder, the creator. Today, almost anything's possible. If we can dream it, teams can build it. So how do you bring your team together and get them on the same page, building together? You team up with Atlassian. Atlassian makes collaboration software that lets teams work and communicate better together. And we are an Atlassian shop. I am proud to say we use Jira for our development, both in-house and when we're working with teams. So when we did the new website, that's actually the first time I'd used Jira. Fell in love with it. Of course, it's a great project management tool that lets you assign, track, and manage tasks for any project, no matter how complex. We're using it now as we work on our apps, and it's just great. And we use it for maintenance of the website and the apps, too. When there's a problem, we go right into Jira. We add it, and it gets done to the Kanban, and it gets done. You can also use Confluence to create and share content, organize results, bring team members up to speed. Russell's a big Confluence user. We use it for our tickets system. And HipChat is everywhere in our enterprise. HipChat allows us to message each other, but it's so much more than messaging. It's video chatting, and it keeps track of everything. So, for instance, the new studio design, using Confluence and HipChat on that. There's a new studio room, and at least it's great because no matter what, architect, project manager, contractor, she says, is it in the HipChat? And a couple of them had never used it before. They're there, and yes, it's in the HipChat. I got a new design for my window in my studio. I told Ryan. I said, "Is it in the HipChat?" He said, "Yes, it's in the HipChat." It keeps you on the same page. It's asynchronous or synchronous, and that's what's great about it. And then, of course, Bitbucket lets you test, review, and manage code in real time. These are all great tools from Atlassian. Atlassian, team up with Atlassian software. Visit Atlassian.com to see how Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket give your team everything you need to organize, discuss, and complete shared work. Atlassian, helping teams everywhere team up to create what's next. Atlassian.com, we thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. All right, I think it's all downloaded now, and it says, okay, restart. A restart is required to finish installing the following updates. So it obviously had downloaded those all, and I interrupted it with closing the lid. And now it's going to finish up. I have not closed the lid. Keep the lid open. So what am I getting? This is 4...
What are you getting?
1, 4, 3,
you heard of the Zika virus, Leo?
Yes.
1, 4, 3, 6, 1.
Yeah.
You're getting the thing you most wanted, you said last week.
Bash? No.
LastPass.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yep.
LastPass
is in Edge. Oh, that's huge. That is huge. I'm very happy for that. Huge.
You're also getting the thing that Mary Jo wanted the most.
What's
Windows
that?
Containers.
Hyper-V
yeah.
containers.
And you know, so this is a little odd. They said, hey, introducing Hyper-V containers on Windows 10. I heard that was actually in the previous build, not this one.
Sure.
But you can now use Docker natively on Windows 10 with your Hyper-V container.
Nonsense words, but there you go.
There you go. Paul, that's how I feel about car talk. Or car talk, as we say.
You don't even have a car, do you, Mary Jo? You don't need one. You live in the city.
No.
I have extra cars, Mary Jo. What do you need? mostly German. I hope German cars are okay.
I need a real small car here.
Marriage. Yeah, you need something you can perpendicular park to the
pretty much
curb, you know, like a smart.
What else? Back to Windows 10. Ink improvements. if you're one of those inking people.
Ink is in here, yeah.
Lots of new inking fixes, improvements.
I forgot to look at settings. They changed settings. Yeah, they got rid of the color on the side. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Tell me what I should contrast. Look at here.
I see. I guess I understand why they did
the settings app for Windows 10.
You mean this?
So if you like go into one of the one of the areas.
Yeah.
See how it's kind of gray on the side?
Yeah.
Now that's just white or, you know, whatever the dark color is if you have a dark theme.
Right. Yeah.
It actually looks pretty good, I guess. I was kind of
can't install updates. Click message to fix. Oh, I'm still on the old one. God
Thanks.
Damn it. We found some issues.
Yeah, we're not ending this show until you get this build installed.
We found some issues. This is basically a stock Surface Book. There's nothing on here, unless you include Minecraft. All right, this is my Minecraft machine. Fix issues. You know what it is? Downloading the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Preparing for the upgrade. So I guess the drivers were installed.
Your set of files are not right where you left them.
not 4361. So... No more color and settings. That's revolutionary.
Totally. There's a new icon for Blu-ray drives, so bingo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, look at that. Fancy.
Fancy.
It looks exactly like all the other drive icons, so neat.
Uh-huh.
They've stopped screwing with the File Explorer icon, which I appreciate. Leave that thing alone. It's fine as it is.
Did you see this? Almost ready. We need to do a few more things before you can upgrade.
Oh, I've seen this before.
This window will automatically close in 2 minutes.
So I actually got this on a Surface Book as well, and it was before the previous build, though. It was a little while ago, but I saw this exact screen.
Yeah. It's funny. You'd think that, like, the first thing they'd test this stuff on would be their own hardware.
Leah, what's that metal thing on your desk with the holes in it?
Paul, I've been dying to tell you about it. By the way, I mentioned HipChat. Look at just popped in over at Redwood. The swing of the swing doors is back swinging into the studio. Far West is ordering carpet and painting all the rooms on the street side of the building. I love that. I can just get notifications kind of up to date on what's going on.
Are those notifications from your town?
No, this is our new studio. Actually, it's from our...
I'm sorry. I got you.
It's from our from Bruce.
Because apparently there's some town now sending out all their official information through Twitter.
Oh. So that's probably not the best idea, but... Okay.
Hopefully nothing complicated happens.
They're going to have a hard time explaining
themselves. Yeah.
We'd like to call your attention to all residents. The bridge over down Main Street seems to have...
Yep.
Dot, uh-huh. dot, dot.
Yep.
So, what is the mysterious case of the Windows 10?
Yes, Mary Jo, explain yourself.
Impossible to reject.
This happened at the end of last week. Paul and I both were alerted by, I think, somebody who watches Windows Weekly that there was a story on the Register that said Microsoft had taken a step further in blocking, in making it impossible to block the recommended Windows 10 update. And that they'd actually removed the ability to cancel it at all. So, of course, we panicked and everyone panicked. But it turned out that that report was not exactly correct. The screenshot that the Register showed in their article was after someone had already accepted to do the update and had okayed the EULA. And then he got a screen saying, when do you want to schedule this?
Well, it's too late.
Yeah. At that point, I don't have any recourse there.
Right. Yeah, so X number of months into this, I think the first hint that Microsoft was kind of going down this path came last October. So let's say that was 9 months ago-ish or whatever. We've been on this steady downward spiral of Microsoft's ever aggressively pushing this thing on users.
Well,
so we get into a Chicken Little situation.
Force you, right? So they got to do
yes, but I mean, when you read it something like this, even on the Register, and you see the screenshot, I think we all looked at that and said, yeah, of course they're doing this. This does not surprise me in the slightest.
That was the thing.
It was not true.
No, it wasn't true, but we were so beaten down and believing that they would just do anything at this point that we all believed
I totally believed it was true. Yeah. It's just, because nothing is beyond, what they've been doing. Of course they would do this.
I want to defend Microsoft, though, on this on this last
Someone thing. Should.
Yeah. Well, because I was thinking about it, and I'm looking at it. And, the thing about clicking the X no longer cancels. Mm-hmm. It should never have canceled, because that is an announcement that it has scheduled an update.
So clicking the close box makes sense.
You're putting the announcement away, but you're not canceling the upgrade.
I agree with you, but Microsoft knew that. And... they should have, when that thing was temporarily canceling it, popped up something.
Yeah, probably never should have.
By the way, just so we're clear, and when they changed it, it should have popped up something.
Right.
By closing this dialogue, you are implicitly agreeing. Right.
I think we're all agreeing that it should have a big cancel button somewhere on there. There should have been a clear and easy way to say,
this thing was socially engineered to deceive people. And that's
true. Yeah.
The central problem. Yeah. And so I agree with you. I mean, that closing the thing should never have done what it did. But the central problem here is they literally designed this to deceive people.
Yeah, I guess.
And the changing of the behavior, right? Like,
that's tricksy.
That was the
problem. A little tricksy, yeah. It shouldn't have done it that way before. They changed it to what made sense. I mean, to me, it makes sense, because what that was is just an announcement that we have scheduled it. And they had a line in there that said, click here if you want to change the schedule or cancel.
No, I agree. My wife is much smarter than I am. But when it comes to computers, she's not particularly sophisticated on purpose. And she doesn't like things that pop up on the screen like that. And so whether it was some important pending Windows update or this thing, Her strategy for this was to grab the window, drag it down to the corner where she couldn't see it anymore, and just get back to work.
I don't care. I don't know.
And
it
never really bettered too bad until this thing, right? Because one day she woke up and
well, does she mind that she's got Windows 10? I mean, is that the end of
it? You know what? So this, she's very strange like this. When this happened, I said, so, you know, are you going to be okay with this? And she's like, yeah, I don't care. And so I thought, well, I'll give it a few days. No, I mean, I went back and I asked her and I said, so Windows 10? She goes, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
She just literally doesn't care.
Well, I mean, think that's the truth. And Microsoft knows that. For most people, it's okay. The problem is the unsophisticated people who...
Well, when it works,
something
right?
doesn't work, right?
My whole issue with this, aside from the deception stuff, is that there are so many critical junctures where things can go wrong. And up to and including you've decided you don't want to do it and you want to roll back.
Right.
There are no safeguards in place if things go south. And that to me is just irresponsible. I give Microsoft credit for making the upgrade process, 100 times more reliable than it's ever been in the past. And it's absolutely improved. But it's still something that can go wrong. You have to have a step in there where it says, we strongly advise you back up. Click here to do this.
Yeah.
It's astonishing to me that they don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, for normal people, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. So,
it's almost July 29th.
It is. It is. And by the way, defend Microsoft, but I think the reason they don't do that is because they don't want to make it too scary for people, right? Yeah. In other words, the way you get people to upgrade is to make it appear to be error-free and easy to do. You know, you don't want to introduce a bunch of fine print where it's like, oh, by the way, all this stuff could go wrong and you should do this and this. You know, that's not the type of thing that inspires confidence. And I bet their upgrade rate would have been a lot lower if they had those safeguards in place. So I'm sure that's why, but that doesn't speak very highly of them either.
Yeah. No. All right. By the way, it has rebooted.
What's it doing? Is you on the install, like the green install screen?
Yeah. Working on updates.
0%.
Yeah. That's actually after it already did like 20 or 30%.
I know. You'll see several rundowns. It's the preparing to install, the actual install.
Okay.
And then you'll actually sign in.
Your PC will restart several times. Okay.
Yep.
And this is an insider update. This is not what it will look like necessarily.
No, this is what it will look like. Oh. This is what updates look like.
This is the anniversary update.
This is not ugly because we're in the insider program. This is what
this
it looks
is
like.
How it is. And this is the anniversary update. This will now put me.
Well, I mean, it's the latest build of the anniversary.
Release candidate kind of quality.
Oh, I don't. Well, I mean,
has to
I don't
be. Know. You know, there's only a few more weeks.
I guess so. But you know, it's funny. Every build, they keep adding features, and I keep what I'm looking for is that one thing where they say, "Okay, right now we're not adding more features. We're just going to fix bugs and get feedback and try to hit our, you know, whatever bar we're trying to reach." And they're adding features, so not yet. Interesting.
Hey, one thing I wanted to know about Mary Jo's new Xbox X1 Carbon.
I'd like to know about that,
too. To write that book about Microsoft we're going to work on together,
yes. Is the fingerprint reader part of the Hello subsystem?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yep. In fact, by the way, one of the very best things about the X1 Carbon, all the new ThinkPads, is they have a touch fingerprint sensor instead of a swipe, and it is instantaneous. It works every single time.
Much
it's awesome. Yeah. It is. It's one of the best things about that computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really nice.
So, okay. And by virtue of it being part of the Hello thing, what does that mean? It's just a more secure subsystem, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Microsoft is storing information.
Well, more secure, it's hard to say. It's more integrated. So in the past, Lenovo, like HP, and I think Dell probably did this as well, would have fingerprint readers or fingerprint swipes on their machines as an option, or they'd add them to business machines or whatever. But they were the responsible for probably getting a third-party utility into the system that would orchestrate this interaction with the security subsystem of Windows. Now it's just an integrated feature of Windows. And so when hardware makers add these devices to the computers, I guess they could. Well, actually, maybe they can't. But you never see this anymore. There were no Lenovo fingerprint, you know, driver things anymore. It's Windows Hello. And so there's a little...
Well, that is more secure because there have been cases, I can't remember who it was, of this fingerprint store not being secure.
Yeah.
And so this is, I mean, this gives you some confidence that they're, it's going to be a little safer, a little better.
Yeah.
The camera. Now, I bought a new machine that didn't, that they had a, this HP, a new machine. I have this, this doesn't have a Hello camera.
Yeah. They're still not very, so, they don't offer a fingerprint reader, do they? And I've talked to HP about this. A lot of the new machines don't have this. Because a lot of the machines are these kind of transforming things, and their concern is that at some point that sensor is going to be on the outside of the machine, and that's not necessarily
that's not good.
But
right. This I feel is like not, everyone this is sort a of, real standard ultrabook, you know. It doesn't transform.
I feel like people have solved these problems. I don't understand why they don't have that.
Maybe save money. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a high-end.
No, that's a laptop, premium machine. Right? That should have a fingerprint reader.
Or something.
Or a camera. Or both. You know, whatever.
Camera.
Yep. By the way, the Hello camera bit might be due to the thinness of that screen.
It's too thin. So it has to have a depth sensor in addition to the regular.
I just think
camera.
The componentry of it is a little thicker than you can put in our super thin lid.
Are people not? I mean, is Hello not being widely jumped upon?
I actually think it's pretty good. I mean, you tend to see it obviously on higher end machines.
Well, I like it. I love it.
You'll see it oftentimes as an option. I was just writing about a ThinkPad X1 tablet today, and they actually have it on the tablet itself, like where the Windows button used to be. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. That's kind of a...
But what's missing, of course, are the third-party devices for the machines that don't have them. Like, you know, I have a whatever machine I have. Maybe it's a five-year-old machine. Maybe it's a one-year-old machine. It could be a brand-new machine. It didn't come with a camera, fingerprint reader, whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind that Microsoft last holiday season did not upgrade some number of its keyboard and mouse sets to include fingerprint readers Windows.
Could they? Yeah, I mean, Hello could work with a peripheral like that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Does it require some kind of physical connection? I'm not actually sure, but it seems like it should be able to, especially for like a consumer class thing. I mean, are we really worried about people... I don't know, they probably use a proprietary non-Bluetooth thing, but are we worried about people reading Bluetooth signals and getting data that they could figure out your, you know, how to fake your fingerprint or something?
Yeah, apparently there are going to be USB. Synaptics is doing a USB fingerprint reader.
Yeah, but so they announced Windows Hello over a year. Of course it's possible, but they don't exist. Like, I don't understand why these things, Microsoft hasn't done it, Logitech hasn't done it, anyone who makes these hardware devices hasn't. I mean, you can get it on a new computer, and, you know, from a PC maker's perspective, that's neat because you buy a new computer, but there are lots of peripheral makers, including Microsoft. People will be like, well, I'd like to go to Windows 10, I don't see any huge benefit to it. Well, what if you could buy a $29 fingerprint reader and use that to log in your computer? That's awesome. You know, I think a lot of people with that might put it over the top for them.
Well,
you know,
Synaptics, I'm surprised. One's kind of cool. I mean, it's small. Let me see if I could find a picture of it.
Well, or it will be kind of cool, I guess. You know, like it doesn't actually exist.
Oh. It supports FIDO, too, which is Google's Fast Identity Online.
Mm-hmm. And this is probably like a little dongle thing or whatever.
Yeah, it's tiny. I mean, it looks like a little... adjunct that plugs into the USB port. Let me see if I find a picture of it. I don't see one. You'd think Synaptics. Here's a picture. There we go. Windows 10. This is the USB port, and you just plug it in. And
there you go. Okay.
It glows green like a little jewel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Expected in Q4 calendar year 2016. I mean,
okay.
18 months after Windows. That's an amazingly slow uptick.
Yeah, why? I wonder. Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
This is one of those things where we and our audience cares a lot about security, and maybe the rest of the world doesn't really.
Well, I don't even think of it as caring about security. I think of it more as you're trying to sell a new operating system. You know, there's a whole supporting ecosystem of stuff that has to happen, and you know, hardware devices that take advantage of new features of the operating system is part of it. And I think there are a lot of people just in the enthusiast-based or just within the very technical people who might listen to this podcast or read our websites or whatever. There's an audience of people out there who would. I would right now upgrade this keyboard set that I'm using if I could get a version that had a Windows Hello thumbprint or fingerprint scanner. I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. I would do that right now. Mm-hmm. It's just not available. It's the best thing about using a modern laptop.
Things, well, you could carry that Synaptics in your pocket.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. you could really kind of lock something down.
Can I plug it into someone else's computer and log into that?
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Well, maybe, you know, maybe this is a tough computer science problem. Maybe that's why.
Yes, aren't they all?
It could be.
Maybe that's why it's taking so long. Working on updates, 75%. All right. I love this show. No, this is when I update
much,
my computer.
Much bigger number. Yeah, this is when, right, right.
And it's, apparently this is Paul, too.
It's all about managing yeah. stuff. That's what we do.
Let's take a break. Come back with a little more. We're going to talk about Windows 10 Mobile, the insider preview, some Surface stuff, and developers. But first, a word from Rocket Mortgage. It's well-named. Rocket Mortgage comes from Quicken Loans, a name, of course, you can trust. But they call it Rocket Mortgage because it's fast and it's from the future. It's 21st century mortgage because you could do it all online. You could do it all on your tablet, on your smartphone. No more compiling big bags of documents you drag into the loan company. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast. It's powerful. It's completely online. All those time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage, gone. No more searching through stacks of old files and paperwork to find your W-2s or whatever. With a Rocket Mortgage, you could share your bank statements, your pay stubs at the touch of a button, and you can get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. How do they do it? Computers. Is there anything they can't do? It's funny. You know, it's so funny because, let's see, the last time I did a mortgage was like 2 or 3 years ago when we bought the house. And it dragged out for so long, and it was painful. It was worse than buying the house. It was getting a loan. This is a quick online process you can do right from your couch. And you know what's great? Pre-apply, pre-qualify, and then when you do go house hunting, you come with that piece of paper that says, hey, I'm good for it. And that helps you buy that house of your dreams. If you're looking to refinance, this is the easiest way to do it. Painless. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Check it out today. QuickenLoans.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Rocket Mortgage, that's QuickenLoans.com/windows. Oh, making sure it's you. Hi. Hello, Surface Book. It's so good to see you. And there she blows. We've updated your PC. If she says all your files, I think they stopped doing that, right? Getting things ready. Please don't turn off your PC. Sure. They don't say all your files are right where you left it anymore. Do they? Do you remember?
I think they say some version of that.
I thought they stopped and they said something like, you're going to love all the wonderful, cool stuff you can do, like have a Blu-ray icon.
That's obviously true.
All right. Anyway, we've come close to completing this process. Windows 10 Mobile Insider Preview Build 14356 is here.
Well, yeah, it was here probably a week ago. Oh, but this one is interesting because this is the one that brings phone notifications to the PC. So this happened before on Android. You could do it on Android. Now you can do it on Windows 10 Mobile. And so I don't think it was complete in this build, but critical alerts, phone notifications, messages, for messaging, SMS, social media, et cetera, missed calls, that kind of stuff.
This is parity because, as you say, Android and iOS both have done this for a long time.
Yeah. And so on Windows, they're adding support for this for both Android and Windows phone devices. They can't do it on iOS. And so this is the first. I think this is the notable big thing that is happening. So for your Windows Mobile fans, you'll be able to start getting your notifications on the PC, and that's really cool.
Yay. Yeah, you got to have that. That's a lifesaver. Here's some good news.
Yep,
there's few and far between in the Windows Phone world.
Yeah.
Actually, I got some big news.
Yep.
Bank of America is back on Windows Phone.
Yeah, that's a pick for later.
Good.
But yes.
But that's big news. That means maybe that we're on the upswing. We're coming back, baby. And now.
So.
Now I hear HP is going to keep making. I mean, they're making that, what, that Elite X or whatever it's called.
Yeah, so they're actually, right, they're still going to do it. I think we all
that's
sort
the
of
news?
Half expect.
Yes, they're still going to do it.
No, did you think they were going to cancel
the
it,
thing they announced, they're still going to do it?
I thought they would still go forward.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Well, they came out with some videos, right? And so they've got Terry Morrison's one of them. The guy who runs, I think actually the HP CEO might be one of them. The guy who runs this part of HP's business is one of them. The guy who runs Qualcomm, which was the most droning, nonsensical video I've ever watched in my life, had a video. But they were all kind of I think the reason this stuff is interesting, aside from the fact that yes, they're actually still making this stupid phone, is that they're positioning it right throughout the videos, and so you see a lot about like this is the future of computing, and meaning continuum, like that kind of capability. Never once in any of these videos does the thing that has to happen behind the scenes ever get mentioned, right? Which is their online services that allow you to run apps up in a data center and then blast them down to the Continuum phone. So it's kind of interesting.
I just think
people don't need to know how the magic happens,
it
right?
Happens.
Interesting. You don't
just
want to learn
happens.
How the sausage is made thing.
No.
Okay, that's fair.
Mary Jo Foley, once again, speaking for the normies.
Well, let me tell you who's not going to be interested.
I mean, it's interesting. It's cool to us how that works, but I think most business users will be like, I don't care. Just make it happen.
But it's not. See, they're not selling this to business users. They're selling this to businesses. And part of the proposition they're offering these people is we have figured this infrastructure out. Because anyone who knows anything about anything is going to say, okay, this is cute. It runs Excel Lite or whatever you're calling it. But if I want to run actual Excel or actual PowerPoint or whatever, you're saying it works, but you never explain what I need to make that happen. Yeah. Do I need this infrastructure? Are you going to provide it? What's it going to cost? You know, so I don't know. To me, like, I think that stuff is actually really relevant, but they don't mention it at all in any of this stuff. So
it just works, Paul.
It does. It just works.
It just works.
Well, yes. Well, it's like, you know, it just works. First, spend $1 million on infrastructure.
I got my IT guy working on it. He'll tell me how it works.
Yep. And now the, So I still think the fundamental issues here, the app canyon, as I now call it, that exists on Windows Phone, the fact that people who want phones, Windows Phone never enters into the equation, and that as enterprises, we've moved into this BYO, D world, and Now we're going to go back to forcing them to use something they don't want to use. I just think this is going to be kind of a hard sell.
Think they, again, still are thinking of when they talk about business devices, they're thinking like what the New York Police Department did, which is buy thousands of Windows 10 phones and just say to people, here's what you use here. That's it.
Are they Windows 10 phones? Because the app that I was looking at was a Windows Phone 8 app. I don't know.
Oh, sorry, 8. Sorry, Windows Phone 8. It is.
That alone is kind of interesting, right? I mean, I don't think Windows 10 Mobile was at any state of readiness, I'm sure, when they were doing this deployment. That's probably why. Yeah. But you look
by the
pictures of the app, and it's old-fashioned looking.
I know, you're right. By the way, on Windows 10 Mobile, there was I saw a couple people tweet this today. The session catalog just went up today for the Microsoft Ignite show in September. And if you search for Windows 10 Mobile, there are several sessions there.
So several more than we saw at Build?
Yes.
Is what you're saying?
Including one called Discover What's Next for Windows 10 Mobile for Phones and Small Tablets.
Which was always kind of a promise, but the small tablets part has been ignored. Yes.
Yep. So they talk about the summer update for Windows 10 Mobile and that they're moving forward.
They actually say summer update.
They do. Hmm. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they definitely are continuing forward with Windows 10 Mobile and definitely talking about it as a business phone tablet platform, which we thought they would. And that's kind of where the HP device that we just talked about fits in, and maybe Surface Phone or whatever Microsoft launches next year fits in. So yeah, it's a little hint, of plans to continue for people who've been doubters. We've been doubters, but yeah.
So I'm installing LastPass.
Wow. So he's getting there step by step.
What's the next thing? Is it going to show up somewhere? Where are the extensions, right? Maybe it's there.
Yellow.
Yeah, no. Do I have to go? I went to lastpass.com. Do I have to get it from? Thank you for downloading LastPass, it says. Maybe it's just in my downloads folder. Is that possible? Did you do it yet? I don't see it. No. I don't see it. Huh. All right. Well, I'll keep playing with this because you have other things to talk about, I'm sure. But
So I lost you guys there. I don't know what happened.
I'm sorry. Oops. I thought I put you to sleep.
Mary Jo robotized and then disappeared.
And it was like, yeah, we had a couple more mobile things to talk about.
You can use Cortana with a band. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. On Android.
Android. On Android.
So previously, Cortana only worked on Windows Phone.
Now it works on Android with the band. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have your Android phone in your pocket and you have the band, you can speak into it and, you know, interact with Cortana using its microphone and stuff.
Cool. Microsoft launches an Outlook watch face for Android Wear.
Well, okay. So I actually think this is kind of cool. I know there are approximately 7 people using Android Wear, but
I use it. I like it. But I did look at the face. It was kind of, first of all, it doesn't even have a clock on it. It looks like it just.
No, there's a clock. There is a clock. Okay. But if
text.
There's, what's that?
Is
oh,
it?
A text clock. Yeah, it's not like a, like, right. Yeah. So, but it, you know, on the theory that Outlook is the center of people's lives, which it is for many, many people.
I guess this would make sense. Yeah.
You could have this on your wrist as well. And so, you know, calendar events, emails and so forth. Are, you know, the same stuff that's in Outlook, essentially, in other words, are available at a glance on your wrist. I could see this being useful for some people, you know. Yeah. And also, if you look at those, at the picture you've got on screen now, there are these kind of blocked off sections that kind of go
cool.
around the circle.
So there's those where you don't have time. Okay.
Yeah, those are your busy times, right?
Oh, that's
those
nice.
Are meetings. It's kind of cool.
My busy times. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. So this didn't. It just didn't download. It didn't get activated or whatever. So now I redid it, and now it's
done. Oh, you got LastPass going. So I haven't even done this yet because I literally just installed this build.
Yeah, you and me both. But I'm in a hurry. Maybe, sure. Chrome. Well, I know. I don't. It's Chrome's not running.
Let's see. How do we do this?
Okay. Close programs. Does it think that maybe that Edge is Chrome? No, I think it didn't. I don't think this worked.
I found so far, by the way, with extensions on Edge, that I have to restart the browser at least a few times before anything kind of kicks in.
This says Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, Firefox, and Opera. So this is not it. So that's what you get if you.
So how did you go about finding it? First of
all, my mistake. You are using Microsoft's new Edge browser. Unfortunately, Microsoft hasn't released support for the Edge browser add-ons yet, so you'll have to use it with Internet Explorer. This is an error, basically, from LastPass, because it doesn't know that I'm...
So do this, though. Go to that top right, the three-dot thing.
Yeah.
Click extensions.
Yeah.
Down below, And then...
Maybe you have to load it from the store. It says...
Yeah, you do.
I think you get it from the store.
Not from LastPass. Okay.
Right.
So that's a little maybe.
Well, that's why I asked. Like, you have to do it through Edge.
Ah.
So scroll down.
Preview extensions for Edge today. Got it. All right, you're a good man, Barley Bound. I will install.
Now that said, I still have trouble doing this. So my first time trying this, it said starting download. The store disappeared. I went into Edge. It wasn't there. Restarted Edge. It wasn't there. So now I'm doing it again. Let me see if it will work this time for me.
Yeah, no, the same thing happened to me. I said open in store.
Yeah, it's dodgy. It's been like this for all the extensions I've tried. Yeah, it's not actually downloading.
It's not doing anything.
At least not yet. But if you go to the store, do you see it in the store yet? No.
Yeah, and I did before, and it did this working.
Oh, here it goes. Okay, now mine's downloading.
Oh, you are an optimist, Mr. Thurrott.
What could possibly go wrong? I just don't understand. Like, there it goes. It worked. Yay. I have a new extension.
I think it's starting download. Now I'm starting to download. I guess it was waiting till you were done. It only is one at a time, kids.
One person at a time.
Line up. Okay, so now it's starting my download. So, okay, so, and now you can log in, I presume, and it'll work just like it does.
Yeah, there you go. Browser. Yep,
that's nice. Yay, that's the only, really.
Just like a real browser.
Holding me back, because I like Edge in other respects.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Maybe I can use this thing.
I wish Edge's icon didn't look so much like Internet Explorer's icon.
You know why, though, right?
Why?
Because they wanted people who are familiar with IE icon to know that was the browser.
E.
As I do so often, could I offer an alternate view? And that is,
of course you could.
That might be a mistake, because don't so many people also ignore that E because they know it to be evil and doesn't work correctly?
Well, I know I'm running Edge, and I look down in my toolbar, and then I see what looks like Internet Explorer.
You get like an involuntary shudder up your back.
I don't really want that. Is it installing an Internet Explorer? And then I can see, oh, no, it says Edge development.
I think the thought was there are more normals than educated users out there, and the normals... Just like when I say to my mom, go to the browser, she goes, do you mean the E?
The E, yep. The blue E?
The E, yeah.
That's sad that's
I deleted the trained. Internet.
That's how they're trained. That's sad. The internet, it's an E, right? E for internet? Okay. Now it works. Internet. So I'm logging into my LastPass. This is good.
That's good.
Normals, that's good. How they spell internet.
Internet.
Internet. It's the internet. Welcome to the internet, Rick. Okay.
That's good.
Surface membership. What is that? I have a Surface. Can I be a member too? Tell me, Rick.
That's the guy from the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yes. Very good.
Good. Nice imitation. So this kind of arrived without any announcement whatsoever, right? I mean, I think to this day they haven't announced it. But if you go to the Microsoft Store, there's a Surface membership available. It's not obvious when you see it. You might think it's for everybody. In fact, I did when I first saw it. But actually, it's for small businesses because they do financing through a third party, and it's aimed at small businesses. But basically what this allows you to do is something similar to what Apple has done with the iPhone upgrade program, but again, for small businesses, where you can buy a Surface Book, a Surface Pro 4, or a Surface 3 on a monthly installment plan, and then get a bunch of additional benefits around, you know, warranties and upgrade programs and so forth. And so, you know, and you can buy them in bulk. You can buy multiple, you know, versions of each device and so forth. Yep. I never thought Microsoft would do this. This is a great idea. I think this is actually really smart.
They had this program called Technology as a Service, and I think this is the expansion or the successor to that. But, yeah, there was no fanfare at all, which is interesting.
They kind of missed the boat there, because if they called it Technology as the Service, it could be TATS.
Right. TATS.
TATS. But now it's just TAS.
TAS.
Well, you know, enterprises buy devices in bulk, right? And there's
No, this makes sense. Apple does this. Everybody does this. In fact, when we buy computers, we almost always go to the business, you know, the business guy or whatever, because they give you, it's not a lot, but 5% from Apple, 5%, you know, that adds up.
I bet a lot of this stuff is going to be really small businesses, and the guy that runs the business is going to put this on his credit card, and, you know, it's going to be like this monthly thing, and that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, that could work. I think the next logical step would be to literally do what Apple is doing and make it available to individuals.
Well, we have to be a business to use it. I mean,
we do right now. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And same thing with Apple. I don't think an individual.
No, Apple has an iPhone upgrade program where you pay them a monthly.
Oh, this is kind of like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, except that it's also in bulk, which is, you could, in other words, you could just buy one, right? There's nothing stopping you from buying one, but you could also buy 3 or 10 or right. 25
Got
or whatever.
It. Got it. So I inadvertently also installed AdBlock. I must have downloaded it at some other time. So yep. now
get
I
all the extensions you can.
All the extensions. Now, if I go to a place, let me see if... See, doesn't yep. does it have an interface? I mean, I don't see... Oh, yeah, yeah. So when you do the triple dot, it'll
I
show you...
I agree, it's
you,
confusing.
Yeah.
They need to let extensions put an icon in the toolbar.
Yeah, they don't, I guess.
And and I don't understand why that's not a thing yeah. yet. But apparently, I don't know.
LastPass, okay, I have to turn LastPass on. So now it's on. Show button next to the address bar. Oh, this is new.
Oh, there it is.
That's
okay,
new
that's
feature.
It.
Look
that's,
at that.
That's new.
That's what
it
you
is
were looking
new.
For.
Yep.
Yeah, I could put it right up here. So that's good. So that's a switch in the settings. And then there's options as well. I don't know what those do. Oh, these are the normal. Automatically log out when all browsers are closed and Edge has been closed. Automatically log out. Open no pages. So these are kind of settings specific. It looks like specific to Windows. Open extension pages and dialogs. Automatically fill. Show my LastPass vault after login. Okay, this is good. This is good. I'm liking it. All right. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah.
Offer to generate secure passwords. So this is a slight, you know what's good? This is not just a clone of the, you know, the Explorer extension. As far as I can tell, this looks like it was purpose written for Edge, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it has the same.
Yeah, the guts are the same, right?
Yeah.
Show form fill notifications. Show notifications below browser. Show certain notifications only after click. This is there's a lot of features. Hotkeys. generate secure password. Recheck page. Site search. Account settings. Advanced. Respect autocomplete equals off.
No respect.
No respect. Warn before filling insecure forms. That should be on by default. It's not. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Install the binary version of LastPass for Edge to enable sharing login state between other browsers. That's nice. So if you're logged in on Edge and you open Internet Explorer or Chrome, you'll still be logged in.
That's it.
My phone is talking to me, and I don't know
hear
why.
That. Hello, Paul Thurrott.
That's incredible.
Doesn't sound like Cortana.
I don't understand how that could even
just
happen.
Just answered.
I know. I don't. My phone is haunted. I'm so happy.
Now that's all, what we're talking about. This is the insider preview. So this is not available if you're on a normal version of Windows
not
10. But
yet.
You'll get it next month or sometime thereabouts. Do we think it's July 29th or is it?
You think it should be right around then.
Sooner or later. Who knows?
All they would say is, you know, 1 year will be July 29th, and this is called the anniversary update.
Right.
Draw your own conclusions. I mean, if they slipped a couple days, I wouldn't be surprised. If they came out a couple days early, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. They'll ship it when it's done. Right.
You would think.
Sure.
What I'm wondering, if they're going to have like a big day on July 29th where they announce Windows 10 mobile anniversary, Windows 10 PC anniversary, and Windows 10 for HoloLens and for Xbox anniversary all at once.
Yeah, I think those things are all kind of aligned. On the Xbox, we're only getting part of
the
it.
The two updates, right.
But that could be, sure.
It could
the
do
summer
it.
Update could happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just logged into Facebook using LastPass on Edge.
It worked.
Now imagine if you could use... Actually, you can. It must integrate with Windows Hello because Windows Hello support is available in the browser in the anniversary update. And so if some form of authentication was required, you should be able to do that with your face. He says, questioning the
you
very concept.
You should be able to do that with your face.
Just hit your face into the screen, Leo.
You should be able to do
it's
that
the new
with
way
face.
To authenticate in Windows 10.
I'm so happy.
I should be able to do that with my face. Wow. .NET. Core.
Let's
talk
developers.
Oh, developers.
Yeah, so this week, if you've been watching Channel 9 at Microsoft, they've had a three-day conference they call the .NET Conf. And it's all about the future of .NET, including ASP.NET and .NET Core. Today's keynoter was Miguel Dix-Casa from Xamarin. Tomorrow, Scott Hanselman. And so I just wanted to mention a couple tidbits that they talked about this week. One of them is we knew the technology that's now called .NET Core 1.0. We knew it was coming in June, but they actually gave us a date. It's going to be RTM'd on June 27th. So we have a very specific date for that. What else did they talk about? They talked about VS Code, the lightweight editor that they introduced a year ago at Build. And just a couple months ago, they hit the 1.0 milestone for VS Code. Now they've published to GitHub a whole roadmap of the new features that they're going to be adding monthly to kind of give people some guidance about what's next for VS Code. So if you want to see some of the features that are there, they don't actually have the dates next to all of them, but you at least can get a good feel for what's coming. That's there. And if you missed all these sessions, they've been doing sessions all day with all different speakers from Microsoft. You can go to Channel 9 and they've recorded all of them and you can watch them for free. So the keynotes are there. And then the in-depth sessions on all the different topics about .NET are all there. So you can go tune in and watch them at your leisure.
Yay. I love it when they do that. I feel like that's such a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of learning things like that from video, but lots of people are. We wouldn't have a show.
I don't know what's up with those people, but
for two things, for Minecraft and programming, you know, there's a lot of video, and it's too slow for me. I want to just look, you know, give me a writing so I can skim it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not. But a lot of people want that kind of friendly introduction. I think that's I love it. You know, a virtual conference. That's awesome. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, it's been a little confusing what's going on with .NET, especially since Microsoft bought Xamarin. Kind of like, what were they going to do to try to unify the platform? So Miguel and some of the other speakers actually talk about that and what they're doing with the .NET libraries and kind of how they're trying to make it easier for people who are building across different versions of .NET on different platforms.
Wow.
So if you're one of those people, you want to totally check out those the sessions. Those people.
It'd be so cool if Steve Ballmer just kind of ran through the video. Developers.
Oh, so I don't know if it made it into your version of the notes, but I pasted in a YouTube video link.
Take your seat. This is it. The day we've all been waiting for. The new logo is here.
God, I miss this guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Los Angeles Clippers. Boom!
It looks like Carl's Jr.
That looks like the Carl's Jr. logo.
You know, you might be right. Well, we don't always get it right the first time, do we?
Yeah.
But no worries. I brought some backups.
The Burger King.
We're the Clippers. Chomp on that burger, baby.
A little too close to the Burger King logo. Did you make these yourself, or?
Yeah, I figured, why not, right?
He's such a goofball.
Target. Please welcome your Los Angeles Clippers.
It's a Microsoft logo.
Microsoft. Old habits. Well, let's add this. How about that?
That's so great.
Star. Try this.
American Airlines.
Behold. You like this? We're going to jump out of the building. Who got up? We got up. Who got up? We got up.
I should point out a funnier dive video. Not a,
yeah.
Do you mind if I, like, take a stab at it? I kind of do a little graphic design.
I like his chainsaw.
This is your guy's team. So please, go ahead and have at it.
You can kind of kill it here if you want. The rest of this is just...
Is it going to be an actual logo? Or?
Yeah. I think
so. I like the music.
I think he just comes to the actual logo. I think I don't even know if it's different.
I think it's impressive that Ballmer buys the team. They're an NBA team. And then they kind of spiff up their presentation and do a funnier dive video.
You just look at these people's faces looking at him. They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, exactly. He's kind of, you look in his eyes, he's got a kind of crazy look. He's crazy eyes. He really
he does.
Is.
I mean,
he's kind of, he looks, I don't know, as if Jesse Ventura kind of ran into a, yeah. I don't know. It's just, oh, and their veins bulging, and I, okay.
I know, I miss him too.
All right. And it's funny. I think I love it that it's a Funny or Die video. And they do end up doing the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Kind of keen. Do you guys want to do the B-O-T-B?
Yes.
The back of the book?
Like, I know. I don't know, Leo.
Paul's going, well.
Do I?
Do you?
He was thinking, is that a car reference?
The B-O-T-B. You know what's coming up, Paul?
Mm-mm.
Father's Day.
Yeah,
are you ready for another tie?
The also-ran holiday of the year.
Yeah. I got an idea for Father's Day.
Thanks, Dad, you for
might,
nothing.
You might like a little bit. Maybe get your kids to go to harrys.com. This is their special. This would be such a good Father's Day gift. It's a special limited edition shave set. Comes in this nice box, right, for Father's Day. Comes with a beautiful, oh, look at this. And you'll even have a little greeting card in here. The matte black handle. Oh, that is kind of sweet. That is you're stealth shaving now. It comes with a chrome razor stand, and of course you get that engraved, say, you know, to the best dad in the world, or the hairiest dad in the world, whatever you want, or shave, or you can have the Burger King logo, whatever you want. You get the most moisturizing foaming shave gel, or in this case, Harry's knows me. They know I like the cream. You get your choice. And three handcrafted blade cartridges. So there's one on the razor, and there's two in here. And a nice, boy, this is new, too, the new blade travel kit container. I love that. The travel cover, too. This whole thing, beautiful. Great gift set, $40. I am a Harry's fan. The whole thing about Harry's, which is awesome, is they bought the factory because they want to bring you great razors at a direct from the factory cost, about half what you'd pay in the drugstore. Why are you paying $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for less? Half as much at harrys.com. They now have an iOS app. You can place your order in 4 taps. Sign Dad up for the subscription, so he'll get the blades, he'll get the shave cream. I think he's going to love it, and this all comes right to your door, so you don't have to head out for your Father's Day shopping. You've got what you need right here. Super shaves at an incredible price. And did I say $40? If you go to harrys.com/windows right now, $5 off your first purchase. But you don't have to tell Dad. The Father's Day limited edition one. Get one for Dad, for Grad, for Grandpa, too. Father's Day limited edition. But don't wait, because it's not going to last. Of course, there's lots of other great Harry's kits, too. Economy shipping ends June 9th. What is that? Tomorrow. harrys.com/windows. $5 off. Get the economy shipping. You'll have it in time for Father's Day. Give Dad something he'll actually use for a change. harrys.com. Oh, look at Siri's reading me the Harry's commercial back. Thank you, Siri. harrys.com/windows. All right, back to Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly, and we'll start with Paul's tip of the week.
We don't have 2 hours, so I'm going to have to really chop this one down. But I've been thinking about photo collection management, because right now we take all of our photos, at least in my family, on smartphones. And it really kind of changes the way you acquire photos and store them and organize them and whatever. And it sort of occurred to me, using Google Photos as sort of the primary place for photos, that this is like managing music. You know, I don't know if you ever spent time like micromanaging a music collection, making sure all your tags were right and all this kind of stuff. And it sort of, I think, maybe will impact the way I do documents in the future as well, because right now I'm really kind of being over retentive about how I store, you know, everything that I've ever written in this very complex hierarchical structure or whatever. But my wife was looking for some photos from this year. And if you look on our server, or if you look up in the cloud where we have all our stuff, like, you know, we have very detailed archives of photos from all these years. And then you get to this year, and we've got like a Christmas card that some French people sent us, my daughter's dance recital, and nothing else, because everything else is on our phones. And so I sort of started thinking about how we could kind of do this. And I think I'm just going to raw dump photos into the – I still think we need to have them locally, but I don't think I'm going to stop worrying about, like, you know, dating them and having the events and everything, because you can search now really easily to find photos. So anyway, I've written an article about this. You should just go look at the site. It's kind of a big story. But I know Mary Jo, for example, doesn't have any memories. No, doesn't no, doesn't store her documents like I do. And this is a conversation we've had a couple of times, because I'm kind of curious about how other people do this kind of stuff. And I asked her in the past, you know, well, how do you find something that you wrote in the past? And she says, it's on the website, you know. And I still kind of feel weird about not saving stuff, but I think I want to I think I might just do this. Just kind of move to a raw dump, but maybe I'll organize it by month or something or whatever. Like everything I write in a month will just be in one folder or whatever. But I think I'm going to simplify that kind of thing over time as well. But anyway, baby steps. And so I did write an article about photo collection management. You can just check it out on the site. And as far as app picks go, I'm actually not sure what to call this anymore. It's like App Raisin is the name of the app and the service, but Ad Duplex is the name of the company that makes it. But let's say the App Raisin app pick of the week, Bank of America, like you noticed, is kind of the highest ranking app in the App Raisin system.
So it's huge for me.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And it's a universal Windows platform app. It works on PCs and tablets. It works on mobile, which is really huge these days because so many people are abandoning that platform. I don't have a Bank of America account, so I can't use it, but it looks really high quality. And maybe more important, it has the Windows version of this app has Windows 10 specific features like Cortana integration and integration with the People app that's in Windows 10 as well. So that's great. You know, if you, I'm sure Bank of America is the biggest, if you know, or one of the top two or three biggest banks in the United States. So obviously that's a huge deal.
Well, they had
deal.
Abandoned it. I don't understand why they went back, but I guess because it's UWP. This may be proof that the UWP idea is a great idea.
It may be. I hate to be. I know I'm always like dumping rain on everybody. In the blog post that someone from Bank of America wrote that appeared on the Microsoft website, they actually specifically mentioned how the Windows team works very closely with them. And I do sort of wonder if Microsoft is this is part of Microsoft courting high profile app developers to try to make sure that their apps do appear in Windows 10. Obviously, from Bank of America's perspective, I'm sure they hope that the Windows 10 platform takes off in such a way that this makes sense. And so we'll find out. The body of people that will use this thing out in the wild on phones is probably pretty small, right? So I think the benefit here is going to be to doing this stuff on your Windows 10-based PC.
But let me ask you this. If Microsoft's developing one for a computer, for a desktop or laptop, it's kind of almost free to get the phone version, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the huge benefits of Universal Windows Platform. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, if Microsoft said, here's $150, can you do a phone version too? It might be. You know.
Yeah, I think, the way, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of I think it was like the user experience team work with them to make sure that it was, you know, like a good Windows 10 client. And I think that's where the Cortana and People integration came out of. It was like, we have these platform capabilities that will make this app better for users and will make it unique on Windows 10 and let some of that Windows 10-ness kind of shine through it. So there's nothing wrong with that. We do sort of wonder, you know, how Microsoft is convincing people when they can to create apps on Windows 10. And hopefully sometime the volume of users just gets to the point where it becomes a no-brainer.
I don't think, it can't be that hard. I mean, if you're B of A and somebody's, what do they have, 300 million Windows 10 users? I mean, that's going to be desirable. USAA does it because they're my bank. Now, what's cool is on the phone on USAA and B of A, I could take pictures of checks to deposit them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd love to see if they end up, I guess it's not as convenient to, well, you have a camera on your computer. I guess you could do that.
Mm. Yeah, hold it up to the webcam or something. Webcam. Yeah.
That the thing, would be great, right?
It makes sense for them to build Windows 10 PC versions of their apps. But I keep wondering, like, what do they have to convince them to do the mobile? Because, okay, it's easy to build it once you've built the core one, but then you have to support it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the thing I think you have to think about as a developer.
And in this case, of course, because of the nature of the business, people might be more apt to use it on a phone if they do have the phone, and thus right. you would literally have to support those people. It's a bank. I mean, yep. it's really serious. Like, it has to work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm sure that's why they abandoned the platform in the first place, right?
That's the thing, right? Like, when they made all those statements about we're not going to have Windows 10, and people just kind of gave up hope, and they said, oh, I guess there's not going to be a Windows Phone version of Bank of America's app. And then here it is. It's too bad we didn't have more of a commitment that it was going to come out.
Well, on the bright side, there are fewer and fewer people using Windows Phone that you have to support. Sure. So,
you
know, well, yes, but
it's not like the calls are going to come pouring in.
Sure.
Right. So, okay. I mean, it's kind of a virtuous cycle here.
It is.
It's only good news down. That it exists, right? Yeah. I mean, so.
Right. Well, the test will be, and they got Instagram too, and the test will be, do you get other banks? If my bank, if USAA does it, that's huge for me. I'm still not going to buy a Windows phone.
If Bank of Dedham does it, I'll be ecstatic. But let's face it, Bank of Dedham doesn't even have a website.
That ain't going to happen. You really Bank of Dedham?
Well, it's actually the Dedham Institute for Savings. But yes.
D-I-S. The big D-I-S.
I like to keep my money in town. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I go and just touch it. Yeah, it's a one-to-one relationship. So this really has nothing to do with Microsoft or Windows or anything, but I just think it's awesome. Google has created an app called Motion for iOS. One of the things that's sort of interesting about it is it came out of Google Research. So it's actually an experiment. They literally describe it as such. And this functionality will probably be moving into Google Photos. And so in some ways, this is like a Microsoft Garage app, except that it's from Google. And it's for iOS only. And the reason is for iOS is that iOS has a Nokia Lumia-like feature in their the camera called, I think it's called Live Photos or Live Pictures or whatever it's called. And it's the same thing as it was in the Lumia. You take a photo and it takes a little bit of video around the photo. And when you look at it in compatible apps, meaning basically Apple apps and Facebook, it gives you that little video. And it's kind of a neat little thing. And so what the Google app does is it goes through your photo collection on the phone and it lets you save those things as animated GIFs or as movie files and literally as like MOV files, which is very strange. But I put a couple of examples up on the article about this. One of them is my son spinning in a chair as I took his photo. And one is like a train coming into a station. You can kind of imagine the types of things where this would be interesting. But I think this is kind of a neat little feature. Like this is pretty cool.
It also smooths it, right? It does.
I'm sorry. I should say by default, yes, it does image stabilization. Yes, that's right. You can turn that off if you want, but I found it's always better just to leave it on. And that tree animation one's kind of interesting because I take a picture of that tree a lot when I walk. It and over the year you can see how it changes, you know, with the seasons and so forth. But that little animation is, you can see that day was actually a little bit windy and the branches are kind of moving subtly. And that's was really happening when I took the photo.
So it's it's an Apple iPhone Live photo. So it automatically preserves those 3 seconds.
Yeah, and now you can get it into a format that anyone can use, right? Because the Apple format is, kind of locked into the Apple ecosystem. And I couldn't get the sound on the website, but actually, if you do a video version of this, there is sound. And when you look at it in the app, you can hear. So in the concert, you can hear the sound, but you can't, not on my website. I don't know why that didn't work, but.
And what is this logo in the lower right? Is that does Google?
That's
put that
the
there?
App logo.
That's annoying.
Yeah, that represents the fact that it's been image stabilized.
Okay. It's too bad they put that there, though. I mean, who wants that in all your images? Okay, cool. That's a free app. Yeah,
it's just an
app. You have to have an iPhone.
I typically do like an iPhone pick of the week, so I thought that was kind of nice. I just thought it was.
Where's your bash pick of the week?
I'll give you a bash command if you want. I'd be glad to just help you out.
I have one for you guys.
Oh, good. All right, let me get my bash shell open here.
Oh boy.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I can tell you it just came out today.
What is it?
Tmux.
Oh, I love Tmux. So this
terminal?
It's funny when I talked to terminal multiplexer. It's when I talked to the there's some Microsoft guys at your event after Build. We were talking about Bash and how great it was, and one of the issues is it didn't work with Screen and Tmux. These are commands that are very widely used by command line jockeys. to allow you to have multiple command lines in Windows, and you have a quick key.
Nerds, as we might call them.
Shift back and forth. It's great, though. No, it's really useful. For instance, here, I'll give you an example. I might be running my chat client, IRSSI, in one TMUX window and have an editor in a third and want the command line in the first, and I can go back and forth with them. And it's really great. And TMUX also lets you do panes and stuff, so I have all three running at once. It's
almost like Windows.
Without the GUI.
That's what I
call pseudo terminal support for the subsystem.
Oh, that's awesome. I will. I'm going to try it. I'm going to
Bash
it right
pick
now.
Of the week, people.
Very good. There very good. Sudo apt-get install bash. I mean tmux. Everybody, get on out there and sudo apt-get install. Thank you, Mary Jo Foley, for making my day.
I'm glad to help.
You made me happy. All right. What else you got for us?
I'll make you even
Paul?
Happier
you
with the Enterprise.
Yeah, Enterprise pick of the week. Here we go.
Enterprise pick. Okay. So a year ago, almost, Microsoft said they were going to have a way that they'd legally allow people to run the Windows 10 client on Azure. You can do this with Windows 7 and 8.1 now. But you only can do that for development and test purposes. That's it. You can't do it for any kind of production scenarios. If you did, you'd be in violation of licensing.
Hmm.
So a week ago, when Microsoft made this big announcement that they were renewing their partnership with Citrix, they threw in this little tidbit that they said, oh, by the way, we're going to make it later this year. So if you have a Windows 10 Enterprise license, you're going to be able to use Zen Desktop to run Windows 10 on Azure. So this only applies for people who have Windows 10 Enterprise. You have to have a license, obviously, for the Zen Desktop. You also have to have software assurance per user to be able to do this. But at least it's a way. It's one of, Microsoft, when I asked them about it, they said, it's our first move to make good on that promise we made last fall. So if you have been waiting to run Windows 10 on Azure, your wait may almost be over if you comply with all of those criteria that I just laid out. So that's one enterprise pick. Bonus pick is GigJam, which is Microsoft's collaboration service where you work with, quote, molecules of work, as they described it a year ago. I know. Wow. What does that mean, right? It means you take common tasks and break them up into discrete steps, and you use GigJam to connect different kinds of software as a service apps. So up till now, it's been in private preview. But as of this week, if you want to try it and you're on Windows, Mac, iPhone, or iPad, the preview is now public, and you can go download it and try it out yourself and see what this GigJam thing is all about.
Hmm. It's so weird that they're showing how this works on an iPhone.
Yeah. Well, so the new weird. Microsoft, right?
Yeah. Boy, is that weird. Yep. All right. Enterprise pick of the week. Codename?
Codename. One of our old standby codenames, Highlander. Highlander turned out to be the codename for what turned into the Office 365 Planner.
Go ahead, Paul. I know you want to say it.
He does.
So I was going to say Highlander 2, The Quickening, which is my favorite Highlander reference, but I'm sorry.
Back to Highlander.
Highlander, the Office 365. It's been a long time since there's been a new Office program, right?
Yeah, so what this is, if you know what Trello is, it's like a project team project management kind of thing.
Microsoft Project is? How does that compare?
Is it like, it's a lighter
weight version. Yeah. And the good news is if you're an Office 365 business or education customer, you're just going to get this for free. They're starting to roll it out now as part of Office 365. So you'll just get Planner as a free piece of your service.
That's great.
Yep.
Good deal.
And you know, I think there's a lot of people who don't want to invest in or learn a full-fledged project management kind of application or service. And so this will just be kind of a lightweight one that you can use with smaller teams.
Yeah, when you start talking PERT charts and Gantt and all that stuff, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this is easy. This is easy. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, before we get to our beer of the week, we should mention some calendar items.
Yes. So The Microsoft New York City store has invited us back.
Yay!
Windows Weekly Live.
I'm shocked.
From the store.
After Paul tried to destroy that Minecraft display.
I know.
I jumped right into it.
I thought we were banned. But no. June 29th, so in two or three weeks, at the usual time, 2 to 4, we're going to be in the Microsoft flagship store like we were a year ago, doing the show live from there.
Do they allow alcohol in the Microsoft store?
No alcohol in the Microsoft store. Tried that last time.
No. Did you try it, really? It
so funny. People wanted to bring beer, and the Microsoft folks said, you know, you can't really be drinking in the store. Yeah. So, no. But we are probably going to have a meetup right after the event, possibly at the new Rattle and Hum, their sister.
What? There's a new Rattle and Hum? How could you bury the lead like this?
It's
Rattle and Hum through the quickening.
Mm-mm. Yep. Rattle and Hum West. So we're trying to secure some a spot there, which I think we're going to be able to do.
Where
so
is it gonna
June
be?
29th.
Where is the new Rattle and Hum?
It's over near Times Square. Wow. It's right near the Microsoft office in Times Square.
They must
Square,
be doing
in fact.
Well. Oh,
they're doing.
They got a built-in clientele. I get it.
They do.
Go where the drinkers are. That's my philosophy.
Yeah. So if you're in New York on June 29th, you should plan to come by and be part of this. Be part of the show.
Hopefully, it won't be the hottest day of the year.
I know.
You know. Yeah. July 29th in New York City.
I know.
Wonder why
not July. June.
Oh,
June.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. June 29th.
June. Yes.
I think I may have missaid. But
so do I have to do anything, or I'll just let Andrew do it all?
Yep.
Let Zarian do the work.
Right.
Okay. You will be there, I hope, but
No.
Virtually.
In fact, am I taking that week off or I think the week before off, so you're all right.
Okay. Okay.
You're good. I will be here. I'll be here, not there, but I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're going to the partner conference.
We are. Okay. Worldwide Partner Conference in Toronto. We're going to do Windows Weekly Live from the partner show, which should be pretty cool. July 13th. So you have to be at the partner show to go to this one, but we're going to probably also have a meetup either right before, the day before, or that day in Toronto somewhere. So if you're just hanging around Toronto, you can come meet us. We haven't worked out the details on the meetup yet.
I need to figure out my schedule, too, because I have to fly to Pennsylvania right after this. So
We'll figure that
flying.
Out.
Yeah.
Toronto to Pennsylvania is like a puddle jumper. You can just, hop on.
It should be fine. But I just have to figure out the flights and everything. So,
hey, can I ask you a bash question, Paul?
Please do.
Because this is bad. So I did the insider preview. Now when I... when I start Bash, it flashes the screen and goes away.
It worked, guys. Thank you.
So much for the Bash shell.
Yeah. How did you... you have to kind of install Bash, right? It's not just there.
Oh, maybe I have to go through the install again.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you... if maybe you have to re-get it.
Yeah, I bet you have to rejigger it.
I don't actually install it, Leo, so I'm not...
I want a T-Mux. I need the T-Mux. Finally. Finally, the moment you've all been waiting for, beer. Mary Jo Foley.
Today's beer pick of the week is from Portland, Oregon. It's Cascade Brewing's Creek Ale. Mm-hmm. So this is not a cheap beer, but it's a very good beer.
Sentence you don't hear a lot.
What does that mean? How
this
expensive
is not a cheap beer.
How could that?
Only bottles, very rarely on draft. It's a sour beer. It's if you know what Belgian Flanders style is. I know Paul loves this style.
Flanders.
This is what that is. 4 kinds of cherries aged a year in oak, and it's a sour. It's a perfect sour.
It's Creek, right? Creek.
Creek. Yep.
Creek. Creek I've definitely had that style.
K-R-I-E-K. It's interesting. Yep.
I don't think I've had this exact one though.
Yeah. So. If you ever see this beer, it's seasonal, so it's not always around, but it's excellent. I bet Leo could find this beer on the West Coast since it's from Portland.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. I'll look for you if you want.
It's quite sour. You have to really like sour beers to like this one. If you don't,
it's puckering up my cheeks just thinking about it.
But if you like sour beers, you will love this one. Hmm. It's a good one. Cascade makes amazing beers. They have blueberry and blackberry and fig. They do all these kinds of seasonal aged sour beers. All of them are great.
Wow.
Apricot. They're all good.
All right. They're all good.
They're all good.
And you're all good because we are done. That concludes this episode of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com and Points West. Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. And don't forget Paul's books at the Little Blue Bookshop. No, wait a minute. I know I'm going to get it. I know. It's completely out of my mind.
Why? Lean Pub.
Lean Pub. Why can't I remember that? All right. I'm going to remember it now. I'm going to be Andy Capp leaning on the bar at the pub and reading Paul's book. Now,
it's funny that you just said something. Because there is a bookstore, or it's kind of a kid's store, but called The Blue Bunny in Dedham Square.
Yeah. But I'm going to cut from now on. I'm going to remember bluebunny.com to get Paul's books. No. Lean Pub.
No, they don't have my books there.
Leanpub.com. You know, I'm at The Blue Bunny. What? What kind of kids are we talking here? Clearly not geeks. We do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can watch live, if you would, at twit.tv/live. You can chat in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You could even visit us in studio. We have an open studio, and I'm here every day but Thursday and Friday. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. But if you can't join us live, don't worry. On-demand audio and video is always available after the fact. Give us a couple hours to edit it, take out all the swear words, and we'll put it up on twitch.tv/ww.
I have a mild form of Tourette's. It's not my fault.
Well, and the nudity, but, you know.
Sure.
Sometimes we forget and we leave it in.
And the car talk. I'm hoping
no,
someone
we're not editing
that.
Out the car talk. twit.tv/ww. Or wherever you get your podcasts, including the podcast appliance on your Windows phone, your Windows desktop, and everywhere. We are everywhere. Don't forget the Twit apps, too. Yeah. Huh?
It's actually raining now. I think your rain has arrived. It was sunny and beautiful when we started, and I can hear what is clearly rain.
That's here it comes.
Cool. Here comes that rainy day. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. I hope you'll stop by. See you then. Bye-bye.